This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. It's Tuesday at Gillette Stadium. Andy's back from birthing babies. How you doing, Andy?
Now that I'm eating my calzone, tremendous.
Sydney going good?
Very good.
The newest member of the Hart family?
Yes, and I know that S.Hart spells sharp.
Oh, I wasn't going to bring that up.
Well, numbnuts behind the glass did. Oh, it's actually on the glass. Never mind behind it.
Eric's here. Paul's here. The doctor's in the house, in the booth. 2G is gone.
No, he's right there. I'm looking at him while
he's still hanging around.
So, but he's letting you, he's kind of training you now?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You guys are all screwed.
Wow.
That's true. He didn't know how to do anything. Like turn on Eric's mic.
Yeah, turn on your mic, Eric.
It is on. The light is busted.
But your mic. Your mic doesn't work. Oh, here we go. Starting already. All right. So, guys, what's going on? Anything good?
How the hell should I know?
No?
The only thing I saw was the shotgun wedding in Costa Rica. Oh, it was on Fox News, and they really billed it as shotgun wedding.
We need to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. That's ridiculous.
Well, we don't know what really happened. I mean, we're going to take...
Somebody fired a gun.
Are we going to take the word of two parasite photographers about what actually happened?
But there was never a need to fire a gun.
Do we know that a gun was fired?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a photo of the car shot out.
Well, maybe they did that just to get some attention.
Okay. You're right. They may have shot.
That's true.
They may have shot their own window for attention.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
possible. Being legit.
That is possible.
That is possible.
But if a gun was fired by any security guard, that's unacceptable.
I wouldn't put that past paparazzi guys, and I agree with your characterization of them. Scumbag. You know, they shouldn't be.
But that doesn't give them the right to be shot at.
No, if they were actually shot at, I don't agree with that. But more importantly, we like to do this at PFW in Progress. We'll get him right out in the open. Andy, you know, you had the famous Kevin Falk diminishing skills. Well, last Thursday, we were talking about Jay Cutler, to which I think at one point I made the comment, well, they're not going to get 2-1s for Jay Cutler. About a half hour later, they got 2-1s for Jay Cutler. So I want to throw that out there
I'm back on board with my boy McDaniels.
James.
He fixed that error.
James, next year for the awards, when you're looking for those, you know, the memorable quotes, that'll be, I think that's a leader in the clubhouse early on.
That news
broke.
Well,
you didn't know they were going to call the Bears.
Yeah.
That's kind of where you go to get
I don't think the trade was
steals.
As bad as a lot of other people by the way.
I do, absolutely.
That news, the Cutler trade.
Financially, it's great for Chicago.
That broke, obviously, Thursday evening after our show, and it's been the big topic of discussion over the weekend in the NFL. You know, did the Bears pay too much for Jay Cutler?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I don't want to go overboard. Yes, I think they did pay too much.
Why do you think? What do you think they saw in him, and why did they do that?
A Pro Bowl quarterback, legitimacy to a friend. They've struggled to find a quarterback.
A young Pro Bowl quarterback that's affordable, and Andy's point,
but
I think, is well taken.
Who's he throwing to?
23 starting quarterbacks since 1990.
I think he's going to regress, and we all said he's a very talented guy but not great. Well, I think he's going to be even now a talented guy who's not even good.
We all wondered how much it had to do with the guys around him.
I think Orton is going to take a step the other direction because he's going to have a better offensive coordinator and better receivers.
I'll tell you,
I think McDaniels is quoted. Peter King mocked McDaniels.
Yep.
He said he thinks he can win with Orton. I think he can win with Orton. I think he's what he wants.
Why could Chicago go 21-10 with Orton and Denver can't win with him?
Right.
And beyond that,
I think it was 21-10 is his record as a starter.
Beyond that, this is very similar to Bledsoe Brady. Where one is the strong-armed, physical, gifted, but who's probably not going to get to his fourth read, who's not going to do everything you ask him to do, who's confident in his arm to a fault, That's Cutler. Whereas Orton is the guy who comes from the passing attack in college, where he was asked to spread the field, read through defenses. He's been doing that for years. He's not glamorous and glitzy, but I think if you ask McDaniels just on paper who he'd rather have, he'd rather have Orton.
Right? I think McDaniels certainly landed on his feet in this one.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
He stepped in poo and came up roses somehow.
Absolutely.
Because he could not have done worse for the first month and a half and somehow ended up with a better quarterback for his scheme for at least a year,
multiple draft picks and multiple
first-round picks.
Well, even if you want to say they ended up with nothing for a quarterback for the short term, even if you think Kyle Orton stinks, they have plenty of ammunition now to go out and get the guy, hand-picked guy, that he wants and groom him. And I'm sure they will
because I don't think Kyle Orton is not going to be Brady. He's not going to develop into.
Oh, no.
I actually think he stinks, but for what Josh wants to do, for the short term, I think he's good.
I'm reasonably high on Kyle Orton, and I wasn't always. The first year that he played, I thought he was terrible. He won a lot of games.
Terrible.
I thought he was
worse than terrible.
Awful. But
last year,
watching that team play, Kyle Orton was a big part of their success when they won games. Now, Matt Forte had a terrific rookie year in the backfield as well, but they don't have a lot of weapons, as Andy pointed out. Their defense has sort of declined a little bit over the last couple of years. They've also been hit a lot with injuries on defense. He made some big plays in big spots right down to the end of the season where they had the game at home against Green Bay that they struggled the whole night, the national televised game. I think it was a Saturday night game on NFL Network. He struggled and struggled and struggled, but when they had to have a drive late in the game, he put a drive together. They went down. I think there's a lot of – it doesn't always look pretty with him, kind of like Brady in the early years that Andy talked about. It doesn't always look pretty, but he generally finds a way to get the job done. I don't think that this is a terrible move just – replacing Cutler with Orton, I don't think that's terrible. When you add in that they got two ones and a three for a five, you know, because that's the draft pick switch, you know, beyond the players, it's a home run for Denver. But I think financially, people have lost sight of the fact that Cutler is only making $6 million over the next 2 years.
Right.
$1 million this year, $5 million next year, and then I think it goes up to like 13 in year three. They have an affordable Pro Bowl quarterback for short dollars while they decide whether or not he's the future.
And
now,
if Cutler
comes forward now and with Bus Cook, I think, as his agent, and they demand to renegotiate, then it's a complete disaster for
but
Chicago.
But didn't you say the other day, Paul, when we were talking about this, that Cook had said that they weren't really looking to negotiate?
They're not looking to renegotiate right now. Now, that may have been...
And they can't. If they have any PR sense on any level, they can't. They just can't. If he wants to have a decent career in Chicago.
Wait a minute. What makes you think that he has any PR sense?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if they do, you can't do that, especially in Chicago. It's not a – that won't play. That just simply will not
play. Andy, Fred and I talked about this the next morning, and, you know, a lot of people immediately jumped and started railing on the Matt Cassel thing. You know, why didn't they get more from
Apples
Matt
Cassel? And oranges.
Exactly. And Fred and I talked about it right away on Friday morning. Matt Cassel was not anywhere near as valuable as Jay Cutler.
Right.
Even if, forgetting about what you thought about either one of them as a quarterback, Cassel was owed $14+ million for this year. And
just
gonna be,
this year.
Going to be looking for a long-term
Right. Just this year deal. Makes it even worse. If you only, say you had to pay him just this year $14 million, but knew he was on a long-term deal for $3 million each success. Okay. But the bottom line is, both trades are equally ridiculous. You traded for two quarterbacks that I think you could argue are comparable. And one, you gave up a ridiculous amount of draft picks, two ones, and the other, you gave up a ridiculous amount of money. You're paying Matt Cassel the same amount as Tom Brady. That's ridiculous. Every bit as ridiculous as the ones.
Kansas City hasn't redone that deal, by the way.
No, I know.
No, not yet.
So that makes it even more ridiculous. You didn't in any way make it more palatable.
I understand. Right. So it doesn't.
Everybody assumed that they would redo that deal and get that cap number down.
Right.
And if you can't, you're going to have to pay him whatever it is, $17.5 million next year to keep him.
Now, Kansas City had...
If they want to keep him.
I think when the free agency period started, they were about $30 million under the cap. They had a lot of money. So they can probably carry
still
this.
Still are. I mean, they signed like two guys, right?
They can probably carry this if they don't do a lot of other moves in free agency. But, you know, and that might be what Pioli's kind of looking at is, let's see how he is.
Let's not,
you know, maybe
long-term.
October, November, we... You know, we redo that contract and, you know, have something ready to offer him. But like Paul said before, going back to the comparison between the Cassel deal and, you know, what they did with Cutler, it's a completely different deal because Cutler was already under a very manageable contract. You can say, well, he had a big rookie deal, but all that signing bonus, all that guaranteed money had to be paid by Denver. Chicago is liable for none of
he's,
that.
He's
all they're
low
liable
paid for a backup.
Is, yeah, all they're
big
liable
rookie
for
deals aren't
is,
that big.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, once you get beyond the top eight,
all they're liable for now is his base yearly salary, and they can cut him, and it won't even hurt him. So it's not a bad deal for Chicago. Now, obviously, you're not thinking of cutting a guy that you just
you
gave
cut
up.
Him, and those fans I was talking about won't be happy. Yeah, but you traded two ones
move.
And a three.
It's a financial.
They ended up they traded two number ones, but. You know, there's 25 or so million that go with those number ones that they can now use in free agency.
Right.
Now, I think they get up a lot. I don't want people to say Perillo's high again because he thinks this was – I don't. I think they get up too much. I think he could have probably gotten one of the ones with the three.
Yeah.
With Kyle
that's
Orton.
But
the two ones is a lot.
I mean, he's a franchise player.
They do save a lot of money, and if he pans out, no one's going to be worrying about what those first round
But apparently there was a lot of other interest in Cutler. So Chicago's deal might be up against some other deals that were already out there known to
the
them.
The Lions, probably Tampa Bay.
Well, that's what, that's what Angelo said.
Washington,
Angelo said, if we're going to get in it, we're going to get in it to win it, and we have to overbid because we have to make sure we get them.
Overbid, but I thought, when Denver first came out and said we want two first-round picks for Jay, I was thinking that's all they wanted was two first-round picks. And they would give up Cutler. Then the Bears gave up all the other stuff, and I'm thinking that's ridiculously overpaid.
Well, the other stuff, giving out Kyle, maybe if you're bringing in Cutler,
you're going to cut him.
You can't have Grossman and Orton and
Grossman's
Cutler.
Grossman's a free agent, I believe.
Is he? Oh, yeah. He's not on the roster.
He's not on the roster. Okay. No.
Well,
they still have who?
They have Brett Bazinet and I forgot who the other one
but
is.
But I don't think you can keep Orton
nobody great.
On the Bears if you bring in Cutler. I mean, that's a controversy just waiting to happen.
Right.
Right.
He's been a winner for
that. I made that point with you when we were talking about Friday.
He's kind of a throw-in.
Right.
He's kind of Vrabel. Right. You were going to cut him. You're either cutting him or trading
him.
That's not adding to the pot
right.
of the trade.
Right. You're not giving up two first-round picks to have guys battle it out in training
from
camp.
From Denver's perspective, I think it is adding because I think he could legitimately start for them and win with them. So
no,
I think they get something out of it.
Yes.
They don't have to bid for his services where he might go XYZ as a free agent.
Just like Vrabel will probably start for Kansas City. I mean, it's valuable for them.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And McDaniels is probably looking at Orton the same way he looked at Castle. This guy is moldable. He can do the things I need him to do.
I agree.
You know?
And I think they can win. Now, did somebody tell me, did one of their two receivers have hip surgery?
Brandon Marshall.
Is he done?
I don't know if he's done, but
he's also facing a suspension.
Could get a lengthy suspension, too.
The whole weapon talk kind of downgrades if you lose him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to affect him during the season. I think he had the hip surgery already, didn't he?
Major joint surgeries for receivers worry me.
Yeah. Now, the gentleman I spoke to yesterday that worked for the Denver Post as part of the writer's mock draft mentioned that. I think his name was Mike Kliss, the gentleman I spoke to.
That's Kliss.
Yes, Kliss.
fatherhood with a daughter hasn't mellowed you one bit, has it?
No, it's not Kills.
You have a daughter now. No.
It's not K-I-L-S?
No, it's K-L-I-S.
That's
at least the way that's the way Paul spelled it. In
the way it was spelled in the black book, and that's the way it was said on his voicemail when I talked to him. I got his voicemail. What were we talking about again?
I don't know. Kliss.
Oh, no, the hip surgery for Brandon Marshall. He mentioned that. That's why he thought, actually, when he was picking at number 12, he was thinking about Jeremy Maclin. That's why that came up, because he felt they need a number one receiver because they're going to be losing Marshall, possibly with a suspension and coming off that hip surgery. But he thought that the defensive needs outweighed that, so he went defense first.
All right, in other news, we just finished up the draft preview issue.
How'd that come out?
Andy, was busy with
wonderful
other
job
things.
By Andy on that issue. He did a bang up job on that draft intro that he had 3 weeks.
I got the ranger in.
So this issue will be
on Friday.
This issue will be on newsstands tomorrow, and available online for all our subscribers. And you'll get it at your homes this week. And just loaded every position, broken down with the top five prospects. Reviews of the top five prospects in every position. A lot of other stuff, nuggets of information,
mock drafts
by different you know, agencies around the country.
The two best draft analysts, Rob Rang and Mel Kiper, in one place talking Patriots.
Yep.
I mean, where else can you get that?
Hey, don't sell Rob McCartney short.
Right.
And Rob McCartney, him too.
We have a nice little theme going for this issue, too, that I think fans are going to like.
It's draft.
Oh,
on, what's on tap for the Patriots? Mm-hmm. Because it's
Which,
a draft.
Which, according to Fred, don't look for any Julius Peppers or Jason Taylor.
There's information. There's an article on that in there.
But that's not what's on tap because the draft is on tap.
Well, it is the draft preview issue.
Yes, it is, Fred.
Okay.
So we ignore all other information.
So loaded with info. You know, pick it up now.
Tomorrow.
PFW.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah, and Stop and Shop. Don't bury it under other stuff like you always do when I go.
Also, I'm working on something myself, a little research, because I have an hypothesis that I'm trying to figure out here. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, if the Patriots were offered a first-round draft pick, let's say Detroit's number one pick overall, they would take it. I mean, it's ridiculous to say, you know,
that they wouldn't take it
because
it's too
expensive. But I'm, you know, from what I'm hearing around the league, there is a growing consensus about these top five slots that the value of those slots is not even close to what it used to be. That the production that's coming out of those slots has not kept up with the money that is being paid to it. You know, not even close. And I'm trying to get the research to back up that. And that, you know, it's not just the Patriots that are now devaluing those high picks.
Oh, it seems like it's most teams around the league.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the teams that have the top
picks. But I want to get the numbers to back that up.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Now, I have a question, if we're going to look into this. Is there an air of the talent's not as good to keep in line with the money? Or is it that the money changes the people? And I don't know how you would ever – would a guy making half as much money ended up have been a better player because he would have –
been more inspired
things
to
differently,
right?
To do
less
that.
Distractions.
If he weren't handed $35 million the day he were drafted, would he have been different?
Charles Rogers, or whoever
you want to pick. And I don't know that you could ever. I mean, I guess you could ask like psychologists and sociologists, but you'd never be able to prove it one way or the other. But you can't tell me that all of a sudden the talent has fallen off.
No matter what I do with the numbers.
So the players are the same, but because
some
of money.
Some of them suck, because some of them would have always sucked.
Yeah, exactly. That's always been the case.
I think some that maybe mentally and heart-wise and work ethic-wise could have gone one of two ways went the bad way because too much money influenced them and agents and all that.
Right.
Whereas if they were in an NBA-type thing where you get, what is it, a three-year kind of prove-it window before you make the huge, ridiculous money.
Right. Mm-hmm. You make big money, but not
then you have to work
money.
For it.
Then maybe, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, you're making millions, but you're not making guaranteed $50 million. You get that on the second deal that the team has to pick up at the end of year two, I think, and there's all kinds of rules.
At some point, this research has to be a little bit or a lot subjective because, you know, what is top five production? You know, you're talking about different positions, offensive linemen sometimes. So –
why are you
it's
doing this?
It's a little bit subjective.
why are you doing this?
I just want to.
No, I mean, is there
a project? Is this going to be the edit letter?
I'm wondering what the end game is.
The reason why I was going to write about it in the edit letter, and I, you know, if I didn't have numbers to back it up, it would just be my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'm going to hold off until I can, you know, figure out the numbers, you know. So
that's good.
What are your numbers going to represent? Like, what are you going to look for?
I'm going to look for, you know, what over the years top five production has been and what it's expected to be in various positions, what it has been in the last 10 years versus what the money is paid to these players and what it was before then, you know, going over history, you know.
So comparing Orlando Pace.
So it's almost like coming up with a formula of converting production and money into something that can be compared.
But you can only compare – position to position.
Well, that's why you have to do position.
Tackles to tackles.
Yeah. You know,
wide
a top five
to
tackle
receiver.
Should be expected to do this.
But my concern,
for this amount of money.
Yeah, my concern with it is, Andy just touched on it, might we look at Orlando Pace differently if he was drafted number one overall today? Now, he was one of the best left tackles in football, but I don't know. Is that good enough?
Well, he was still a pretty high first round pick.
No, he was number one overall pick. But what did he make?
That's just like
Andy
said.
That's what I'm saying. To me, so far, they're both the same.
Now, to me, Jake Long has been, I mean, rookie year.
He's been a Pro Bowler.
It's 1 year, but solid year. But is it not worth the money?
Well,
because he was making probably more than Orlando
the other thing
made.
You have
Robert Gallery would not be worth the money because he's playing guard.
Right. But the other thing you have to look at, then the second step of this is to take veterans now. Veteran contracts of guys in a position that's productive, and now compare them to what you have to pay these guys in even the top 10 slots. Is that comparable?
So Matt Light, who on paper is an all-pro left tackle, making $4 million or, you know, something pretty palatable.
Right. You know, so it's involved. That's why it takes.
It seems like it's very subjective.
It
has to be subjective.
Are you going to talk?
Well, that's why I just said Light on paper is an all-pro left tackle. So was Orlando Pace, but they're nowhere near each other in terms of actual playing ability.
But are you going to try to get reaction from any players who were considered first-round talent who maybe slipped?
No, they don't want to talk about that stuff.
Because I thought I saw something recently on this very topic where somebody was either quoted or was pointing out, making the point that because there's so much first-round talent and not everyone can get picked in the first round, the ones who get further down to, like, second round or third round want to prove themselves that much more and end up, like, last year was a good example.
Well, could be, yeah.
With guys like you pointed out in your story, Paul, Donnie Avery, DeSean Jackson.
But that gets into the whole mental part that I don't know.
It's hard to gauge, but
I called it nebulous.
Yes.
I think.
Because I don't know what. In either direction. You don't know what Deion Branch would have been. Say Deion Branch had been a top five pick.
Right.
For all I know, he would have gotten rich and stunk.
Expectations are higher.
And if he played exactly
pressure
the same
is
as
higher.
He did, do you think he's as good as you think he was that he got taken in the second round?
There's a lot there. So, I look forward to reading this seven-page feature, Fred.
Now that leads...
No, it's interesting. I was just wondering
to condense it.
I was wondering if someone in the organization had maybe
asked trying
to
get somebody to help me out here. With some statistics.
I don't know if it sounded like I was making fun of you for asking
you. Oh, it certainly did.
But I wasn't.
Look, I don't have time to, you know, anything.
Well, nor should you, because the information is available more quickly by other people who do this more often.
So that leads into this whole thing about, you know, rumors that the Detroit Lions, certainly they've shown interest of trading out, but might just simply pass up.
Skipping it, yeah.
Skipping it. What is now, and I know there's no rule against that, and I think Pro Football Talk had Greg Aiello talking about it today. But it does open up a can of worms. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we skip out. Kansas City has a second pick. St. Louis has a second pick. Is that guy now supposed to be paid first pick money?
Yeah, I think so.
He should be.
But that's not fair.
But Kansas City's now screwed because we were planning our budget around a second guy. And I know it's not a huge gap, but it's a gap there between number one overall and number two as far as the guaranteed money.
That's
I think
Florio's
right. If this ever happens – It'll be rectified.
Right now, there's no
for 1 year. It'll suck, but the league, everybody they'll get involved. You just can't have
because
that
it
happen.
Just you know. Yeah. And I also think that if Detroit decided to do that, then they just can't slip back in wherever they want.
Exactly,
well, you lose your spot.
No, they shouldn't.
But
they shouldn't
be able to. Well, you know, that's
that will probably be the fix to rectify it.
Yeah,
yeah. If you can't make a pick. In your allotted time, you lose the pick.
You lose it.
You just lose it. It doesn't come back to you at any point.
But unless you have a prearranged deal with somebody lower that you swapped or whatever, but you can't just, we like the guy that's available at 5. We're going to slip right in there now and get that guy. That's just not fair.
Now, the Vikings did that by accident, right? A few years ago.
Well, they screwed up.
They screwed up.
They were trying to work a trade. And
they were trying to
work a trade.
They took too much time.
But they didn't. That wasn't like a design ploy.
I guess you could never prove necessarily that it was or wasn't. I mean, Detroit could say, well, we were working on three trades.
Right.
But don't you think this could be like the political stand that might enact some change with the rookie contracts?
Yeah,
could be. The team says, I flat out don't want the number one
pick.
That's right.
I'm not dismissing it as a possibility in the draft, too.
I actually think if they do it, they should say that. The system is broken.
Yeah.
We were the worst team in the league. We went winless, and we cannot afford to commit that much money and that much value to a guy who might stink. We've done it in the past. I mean, they could even
Plus
throw
they
their
have,
own
well,
guys
Well,
the
argument
bus.
Is don't pick
so,
a guy who stinks.
But
you know,
so,
you're,
but,
you know.
But stinking is
But everybody agrees that the system is broken.
Right.
Whether it's Bill Belichick, who I think would pick a good guy, or Matt Millen, who I think would pick a crappy guy, both sides agree the system is broken.
And I don't even think the larger issue is how good the player is. I think for Detroit, to illustrate Andy's point, is we're 0-16. We need so much more than one guy can help us with. and you hands, our hands are tied because the one guy that we have to take costs so much money that we can't get other guys to
help us. The problem with Detroit is they keep having high draft picks, which means high rookie contracts, and they keep getting stuck with these contracts, and they're not getting any better. The system's supposed to be that after a while you've added these high guys, and now you're better. Now you're not picking as high anymore.
And the system,
but
I agree,
it doesn't
with
work for Detroit.
The talent, in the end, you have to pick the right talent. But even if you pick the right talent, you're limited. He's still going to be the highest paid at his position. So unless he's the greatest player that ever played by far, no questions asked, he's still a quarterback making more than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
That's not right.
I mean, you look at like Calvin Johnson they picked a couple years ago.
He's great.
You can't be any better than that. But they need so much
need
more.
I mean,
the agents
Calvin
would,
Johnson.
The agents would hate this.
Screw the agents.
But I would love to see where, you know, the pool, you know, the pool, the salary cap remains the same or maybe even goes up a little bit. So the union can't complain that you're paying our players less. The amount of money paid out is the same or more. But if you're in the first round, you get this. If you're in the second round, it doesn't matter if you're 1 or 32. This is what you get in the first round. This is what you get in the second round, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. And it's manageable.
I don't like it.
Now, you reduce the amount of time to become a free agent. Okay? So maybe that goes from 4 to 3. That's a concession that the teams make. So now you can get in.
You can
get into
earlier.
Getting that contract a little sooner, mm-hmm. so you're not stuck with that. But you got to do something.
I'm fine with that. I think they should treat the NFL and every sports league like it's a regular business. I know people are going to say it's not a regular business, but they should treat it that way. You come into an organization, you need to prove yourself. You don't come in making what the CEO makes in a company. You start out at the bottom, you prove yourself, you work your way up.
Right.
That's how it should be.
Right.
These guys live in a dream world. They get paid all this money for doing nothing.
Yeah.
It needs to change.
So
I like your concession, too.
Yeah, you have to
take a year off of free agency.
Sure.
They do away with the restricted free agency altogether and make 3 years unrestricted free agency.
I'm fine with that.
I like that.
Okay.
There's probably 1,000 reasons why it can't happen.
Well, I think you run the risk of too quickly. Now, it might be a little different, but you get in the NBA thing where teams make decisions that they're not really ready to make. Is this guy great? Is he not great? And then in year five, you go, well, you know what? That guy's not as good as we thought he was, and now he's making $10 million a year because we had to make that decision too quickly.
But at least you had more information to go on than having to make that decision before the guy has played
it
down.
No, I know.
You know what I
mean? Nothing's perfect, and there's going to be flaws with every system.
Here's another thing to look at. Maybe there's a league pool that all the teams contribute to. And when a guy gets, you know, in the number one all selected, he gets a bonus, but it's not from the team. It's
from the
league for being the number one overall. You know, and maybe it's a pot that all the teams contribute to equally. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't like it.
You don't like that?
All right, couple sounds Obama-like.
As much as you want to say the league is the biggest example of socialism we have going, you know, the NFL.
Profit.
It's all shared revenue.
Sharing.
Yeah.
And isn't it heading for the worst, like, butting of heads between management and players in the history of...
Well, yeah, we'll get into that later.
Oh, sorry.
Couple points of business. I do want to thank Jim from Texas, one of our great callers.
Best caller ever, too, Andy.
And
Jim in Texas,
feeder.
Best caller ever.
And now one of our providers of victuals. So
victuals.
I don't think
that's
the word.
Oh, and it's on the phone. And
I don't use the word either way, but I'm pretty sure that's not it.
Victual
is how you spell it, yes, but it's pronounced vittle.
It's vittles.
It's spelled victual, but it's pronounced vittle.
Is it really?
Even I knew that.
Okay. Anyway, Jim from Texas is on the phone. Jim, how you doing?
Fred, that was one of the best shows you had last week when you were told Eric that you're going to do this, and that's all there is to it.
I was going to do what?
That was stopping you and your argument with Paul.
The kicking.
I said I was going to do it.
No, but you need to start training.
All
right? Enough of the talk.
Start training.
Enough. Let Jim talk. Let Jim talk.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is you and Paul, when you kind of got into it, you both were arguing your points, and it was, I thought that was one of the highlights of the show as well. I mean, you gave your point, and Paul gave his, but it didn't turn into, well, you're ugly or something like that.
That's because Andy wasn't here. Yeah.
Oh, that's why. Andy, congratulations on your newest edition. Fatherhood's a great thing.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to talk about the NFL, if I could, in the state of it, or not necessarily about the structuring of contracts so much.
Okay.
If I could.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
You bought lunch. You can do anything you want.
Jim, it's your show.
If you want to swear, swear.
Okay, Reggie Williams was arrested last night for
a possession. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. I called the show about 3 weeks ago and said maybe we should take him. Well, forget that one. He's out.
Yep.
Your thoughts, though, as far as Galloway and Lewis, both a key offseason addition, do you think both make the team?
Yes.
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 I think Lewis is a lock. I'd be stunned if Galloway didn't.
I think Greg Lewis is going to be the reason why they were eager or able to get rid of Kelly Washington so easily is because of Greg Lewis.
But I think, Greg Lewis has really not done a whole lot in Philly, and that's not exactly a talent-laden receiving core, I would say.
Well, I think Greg Lewis is going to contribute on special teams,
and he's going to be better
and is a better receiver.
The role they're going to ask him to fill here, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be very productive, just based on his M.O., as a guy who's a great route runner with great hands.
And I agree with Fred, though. I think he replaces – he's the Kelly Washington wide receiver who excels on special teams.
But not A for A.
And what you get out of him as a receiver, to me, is great.
You cut Kelly Washington a month and a half before you traded for Greg Lewis.
No, I'm saying this is –
So you didn't.
But
like, it's not like they said, you know what, we're going
to
cut Lewis today. I mean, cut Washington and get Lewis. It just kind of worked out that way.
No, you don't think that deal was in the works? I mean, it's not like it just happened.
I don't know.
Well, we give him a fourth for him. It's not like they really, you know, they went all out to get him. I think he could have been had for a fourth. And we have so many picks anyways. They've got to kind of, I think, either move them either this year or next year.
I think the two deals of the offseason, in terms of value, are going to be Greg Lewis and Lee Botten. Those are the two deals.
I like Lee Botten a lot.
I think Lewis will be.
Well, okay.
I'm not anywhere near as high on Lewis as the rest of the panel, but
value. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, I'm talking from value.
Well, what's value? You traded a fourth for Randy Moss and got 23 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's pretty high
value.
That
was a great value, too.
I don't think Greg Lewis is catching.
But that was then. This is now. I'm talking about this.
I agree with you. You don't have to yell at me. I think he's going to catch 55 balls, and you're going to fall in love with him, and you'll have a Greg Lewis jersey on.
Really?
I think he's going to catch in the range of 50.
Then
count me as being way off the boat here on Greg Lewis. Then if he catches,
I don't think he's going
to
do that.
I think he's going to cut to Welker's catches. I think Tom Brady's going to fall in love.
Jim,
well, listen, I love the show, and again, I got to go back to work. Actually, busy today.
But,
yeah, well, you know what are you going to do though? But Paul, I love your commentary whenever it is you're like disagreeing openly with Andy and anybody else for that matter.
I'm sorry.
But you guys have a great day, and listen, I'll give you a call next week.
All right, Jim from Texas. Thank you for lunch. That is awesome.
I'm confused.
Reestablishing his
Jim
place is my favorite call.
Houston.
Texas. He always says Jim in Texas, right?
But how come he always talks about Jacksonville? Because I think he was or stationed there.
Yeah,
or
he I remember when he wanted Reggie Williams, and we had talked about very talented but troubled, and he'd been in a lot of trouble. He had a DUI, I think, in February.
Right.
Well, I want to say sometime in the offseason.
He had something, yeah.
And now, obviously, he just got tasered again this week for cocaine.
It's tough being his agent, huh, trying to make
him. Oh, God. Yeah.
Hey, guys, you want to sign him?
Hey, I got Reggie Williams here up close.
Well, those Jacksonville receivers have some issues, though, huh?
You think?
Jeez.
Yeah, they can't
talk
cash
about first-round picks.
I see what you did there, Paulie.
The other thing I wanted to bring up before Jim got on the phone and I thanked him for lunch is that at GameStop, let's see.
You might want to read those
face right now.
You might want to read those spots before
his brow is all furrowed. And
okay, on Saturday, April 11th, from 2:30 to 4, at the GameStop tournament store here at Patriot Place, Rodney Mayo.
You always call him Rodney.
Because I had a
best friend was Rodney Mayo.
I had
Mayo.
A roommate named Rodney Mayo.
And Mayo.
And he'll be playing video games here at Patriot
Place. Gerard Mayo will be appearing at the GameStop at Patriot Place on Saturday, April 11th from 2:30 to 4. Who's a better gamer, you or Mayo? Find out at this event.
Hmm. You're a gamer.
And I'm not supposed to say he's...
team does he play for?
I'm not allowed to say that.
No, but Fred, you're a gamer.
I don't play video games.
I thought you were
you going to bring Connor down?
What's he going to be playing, Madden?
Sure.
Doctor?
Sure. I would assume.
You don't know that?
Doctor?
I wouldn't bring Connor down.
I wouldn't bring your son to that.
All right. So anyway, he's going to be on April 11th, Saturday, 2:30 to 4. This is the GameStop here at Patriot Place. And if you've ever been to GameStop, this is different.
That's an impressive store.
It's a bigger store. Every conceivable console has its own little area where you can just go and start playing. They got big flat screen TVs, and they have tournaments in there.
You've been there, Andy?
No. You need to get Connor a job in there.
I'm not into the games or anything.
I need to get him a job, period.
Yeah. Well, get him a job there. He likes video games.
So that's April 11th.
That's this Saturday?
So if you're
that's
in there,
Saturday.
And then you know what you do?
You just missed the barrel by about 12 feet.
You go to Pizzeria Grandi. You mention the show. You get your sandwich and a free soda, and then you head on over to GameStop.
Are you allowed to eat in GameStop?
I don't know. I would think not with all the electronics.
What if you brought a chair with you and some food and just sat down?
Yeah,
and
that's all they need of these kids, you know, spilling Pepsi into the game.
Guy walks
consoles.
In with a big bowl and a bag of chips, dumps them out, starts playing.
You so, spill it, you buy it.
Any other reads I have to do?
I hope not.
I'm very good at the reads, aren't I, Doctor?
Professional.
Compared to what, a monkey?
All right, webradio@patriots.com. We should give out the email address, webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Jim obviously knew it because he just called and bought us lunch. Great.
Good man.
Yep.
I was missing my calzone. That's the thing I missed most, is that calzone.
In case anyone was wondering, Andy did indeed get a chicken parm calzone, as he has every other day.
Did you any stories from the event last week that you want to share with us? Any?
I almost passed out.
When?
I don't blame you. Either.
During the event.
So you were in the room when it happened?
Well, because I was in the room last part. Time.
What?
Well, I was in the room last
part. What's that?
Time. They were making him take part.
What do you mean making him
well,
take
part?
Well,
he'll tell you the story.
I was asked to, quote, grab a leg.
Of your wife or the baby?
Yeah, my wife. Oh, the baby, I would have passed out instantly. No freaking way. But, and then there was a little, I looked down, there was a little drop of blood on my shoe.
Oh.
And then they started, are you going to be okay, sir? And I said, oh, yeah. And then I was like, but my hands and feet are tingling and getting really warm. And they're like, oh, you better sit down.
Yeah. Wow. I don't blame
you. I was off in the corner just like a little kid.
Now, were you involved with the first baby?
Yeah. I produced it.
No, I was going to ask if you were involved with the conception.
Well, the delivery.
There's questions on that.
The
but,
delivery. Yeah. No.
You were.
I was in the room.
Yeah.
But I made sure I was well up by the head. This time, I don't know. We had a numbers game, and for some reason there was a free leg that needed grabbing. And
well, you said the nurse ran out. It was like her break or something.
Yeah.
What?
Well, we were there for like 12, I don't know. We got there at 6, and it was like 2 in the morning, and still nothing had happened. So it was like they thought it was going to happen, wasn't going to happen. So, yeah, they went on break, and then the doctor came in to check something, and she goes, if it's something certain dilated or whatever,
right.
I'll get ready. And she's like, whoa, let me get dressed or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, we waited 8 hours where nothing happened, and then, like, in 5 minutes we had a kid. And
wow.
It was all, like, shambles.
Was it quick? Was it that quick?
Oh, it was, yeah, like, 3 push. The actual, like, push legs up part was, like, less
nothing?
Than 5 minutes or
oh, really?
Something.
I mean, so she had
immediate.
All right, that's all I need to know.
But yeah,
all right, let's get back to the...
I don't know why you asked.
I don't like the details.
Casual Friday, I'll wear my gray sneakers, and you can see the little drop of blood on my toe.
But I'm looking for the stories of, you know, he's got the bag packed.
Oh,
you know,
I had that.
And then he ran out the door and forgot the bag and had to go back. And
no,
the, you know,
well, because we didn't...
Like Rob Petrie with the hat.
The hat?
Yeah, right.
She almost got into a fight with the doctor in the...
Oh, no.
Like, what, triage, they call it, when you first get there?
Yeah.
Because the woman was, like, giving her a hard time.
like you're not pregnant. Get out
of
here.
Well, she's like, you're not due until Saturday or something. And Dieter's like, yeah, but I'm 5 centimeters dilated. Oh, well, let me check with your doctor. And they kind of had a little cat fight going
on. She's turning into quite the Paul Perillo, isn't
she? Oh, she doesn't take...
I can't imagine, you know, you're in the mood to get back talk from a nurse when you get a baby about to come out.
You're
going to
criticize Deidre, too? Right. I mean, the lady behind the desk is trying to tell her when her baby's going to come?
I mean,
no, I'm just saying.
It was a little ridiculous. But
yeah. Andy should have stepped in.
He should have, but
wow, she was more ready, willing, and able to fight at that point.
Andy was about to pass out.
I was feeling lightheaded. But, aside from that, not a lot of excitement.
And you're sleeping fine?
I'm sleeping fine.
You don't do anything?
Unlike Paul, I don't lactate, so I can't feed the baby. So.
Oh, see now?
What a loser.
Yeah, wow.
Yes, no, everything's going well. Mom's good. This is her first day, though. She called me, and things are going well.
And speaking of lactating, I saw that picture.
No one was speaking of that.
Andre Smith with his jersey. He actually looks better without it. Because with it almost accentuates.
We put the picture of him at the combine
with
the white
shirt rolls
on.
And,
oh, bad.
But. I know people. It's like easy to make fun of,
lineman.
But
if
they
guys,
all look like that.
No, but now
the fans went in the locker room and
he made a bad decision.
They criticize
his shirt off.
No, but you know what? They criticize him for taking his shirt off in the pro day. But the picture from him with the shirt on in combine, I think, is worse. That's why he took his shirt off.
Well, he's fat. What do you want him to do?
No, I know.
I think if fans were in the locker room every day and saw the offensive and defensive linemen, with the exception of Richard Seymour, they would be very surprised.
Yeah.
Richard Seymour is very atypical of a defensive lineman of that size. He's not overly fat.
No.
Although if Andre Smith comes, he will take over Brandon Gorin's spot as the biggest breasts I've ever seen.
Brandon Gorin looked like some guy that just waltzed in
on
off the street. He was so unathletic looking.
Yeah, there's been a few of those.
I mean, Joe Andruzzi looked like anything but a professional athlete.
And they all have one thing in common. They never feel the need to wrap a towel around them. They put it over their shoulder.
You know what? The offensive line.
The worse they look.
Right.
And not in a gay way or anything, but the worse they look, the more apt they are to just walk around naked all the time.
Remember Chad Scott always not only had a towel,
he had a robe.
He had his robe on.
And he's a skinny DB who, you know.
He had a robe.
Even Ascot in a pipe.
Yeah, but the pipe. That's what got me was the pipe. Yeah. Anyway.
What kind of pipe you're talking about?
I'll see now.
But there it is. What do they call that? Inverse proportional or whatever. The fatter they are. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Three of them.
We got a pee-pee watcher.
No, she works for the Globe.
Oh. Hey.
Whoa.
Maybe not for
things
long.
That we're not supposed to say.
Well, yeah, because the Globe's going out of business.
Right.
What do I care?
We should have a show on that, talking about the state of the newspapers.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
That's another thing.
That doesn't include niche newspapers.
But
right?
I don't want to get off topic.
Team owned.
All right, because we're talking about
we're
naked
still
men.
The only color newspaper in the NFL, right?
Let's see. Brian from Santa Cruz has figured out how to get his email into the web radio email.
Yes,
box.
I noticed that. He was very excited about it.
I'm thrilled. And you're actually reading his emails now.
But I give Fred credit for this because he kept sending his emails and they would go to Fred and my personal box. They wouldn't go in web radio because he had a period at the end of .com. Webradio@patriots.com.
Period.
There was a period.
And for it's some amazing reason, that it gets here at all, right?
And for some reason, it kept going to
our
email boxes.
So our email addresses were right. So it was you know how we get all the web radio.
Right.
It wasn't going to web radio. It was going to Fred and Paul.
Oh. That's bizarre, though. The rest of it is just bouncing around cyberspace.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Brian says, good afternoon, Fred, Eric, Andy. Congrats on your new addition.
Thank you.
And I guess, too, Jay. Oh, and what's up, Paul Perillo?
Hey, how are you?
No, doctor is too high. I was looking for the drop-in, but no.
Yeah, no.
What a weekend. Cutler to the Bears. Well, at least he's out of the AFC. I think the Bears may have given up a little bit too much, though. Anyhow, do you think Kyle Orton will improve with a new offense around him, or is the Denver offense doomed to struggle without the overgrown infant that was Jay Cutler calling the shots? Also, speaking of what's up, Paul Perillo, there was some speculation about Rodney Harrison on last Friday's roster report. If he takes his time and does decide to come back and play, is there a realistic chance that it's not for the Patriots? I think his services are a little more valuable to the Patriots than some other teams, but you never know. E is a free agent, and sometimes money talks.
E?
What does E mean?
He.
Maybe
I think he meant he.
No, he's got a capital E. I don't know what that
he
is.
He probably made a typo.
It slipped up. He missed a...
All
right. I'm going to watch over your shoulder the next time you're writing the edit letter, and I'm going to see how many mistakes you make just as you're typing.
All right. But this is, you know, a final email that they're sending
It's an email to our stupid show.
Do you think he proofreads it before he sends it
out? Well, I would hope so.
And that wasn't exactly a hard one to figure out.
We barely proofread the paper, for God's sake.
I know. He didn't necessarily mention it, but others have mentioned Atlanta because that's around where he lives. What do you think about, you know, Harris? They
just got rid of their slow safety who's old.
Well, they cut Lawyer Malloy.
I do think there's a chance that he plays for another team, though, if it's not, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots are the best chance, no question. But I think if he decides he wants to play and the Patriots don't want to have him back, then I think he'll still play somewhere. I think Atlanta's a good possibility.
Kamani writes in about the trade. It's easily the biggest trade in Chicago sports history. And I think Kamani is from Chicago. So.
No, he's from Providence.
No, not Kamani.
He lives on a hill.
No, that's Jason.
Oh.
This one trade has transformed the Bears from a plodding, boring, archaic, smash-mouth, inconsistent franchise with little upside to a modern NFL team that can not only be competitive but genuinely be put in the conversation of dangerous teams that you don't want to play.
Sounds like Kamani bought it hook, line, and sinker, what Jerry Angelo was going for here.
That's what a good quarterback does for you. He hasn't even thrown a pass for the Bears, and he's already the best quarterback the team has ever had. And they didn't give up too much. The GM doesn't like first-round picks anyway.
Is this an April Fool's joke?
It must be, because he says QBs like Cutler don't come around often. It must be sarcastic.
Well, no. Physically gifted, I think Cutler is up there. But that doesn't mean immediately in Chicago they're, what did he say, a team no one wants to play or fears?
I don't think it's an April Fool's joke. I think it's just an overly optimistic look at it from a Chicago
perspective. He's a Bears fan?
Yeah. No, but that's fine.
Or are we his other team?
Listen, if I were a Chicago fan, I would have no problem with this trade because of what they just talked about. They have not had a good quarterback for a long, long time.
Yeah, but I heard that, you know, Brian Urlacher's quotes didn't exactly sound like he was that excited about it.
Did you read them? They were kind of
They were just the opposite.
Here he's this, and I guess he's that.
Well, he's got a lot to prove. On the negative side, there's a lot of pressure.
And here's a guy that, you know, these players talk from other teams, and there might be a lot of Denver players right now bad-mouthing him.
You saw Denver players bad-mouthing him before he left.
Right.
Yeah.
Saying
that that's not how a leader is supposed to act.
Exactly.
I don't know who said
that. Get back to, remember coming out of college, his whole thing was, I wasn't surrounded by a lot of talent at Vanderbilt.
Right,
which
right.
I still can't believe someone would say, especially a quarterback, a leader.
Do you think maybe he's going to be saying that by about week 8?
Right.
I don't really have a lot of weapons.
You could be going down that road again. Mm-hmm. I don't.
And by the way.
Jay Cutler's problem, to me, is not talent. It's all the other stuff.
Attitude.
I won't use the word. I won't use the word that'll get us involved in our argument again. From last week.
What is it? Sue and Sue?
You know.
We're on the radio, so unless you want to say it.
I can't.
What?
No, I hear he's a partier. Quite a partier.
That would fall in line with my whole image of him. He's always been a big fish. That's the trouble. He's always been, you know, the strong-armed. He's a lot like Drew.
Mike in Puerto Rico's on the line. Mike, how you doing?
I missed you guys. I'm doing well.
That's great. You sound like you're by the surf.
Actually, no, I'm in my car. Actually, I think I just got a bad connection.
Okay.
I'm in my car going back for lunch. A couple of comments. First of all, I don't know if it's the change from real to, what is it now? Flash,
right.
But the podcast sound 100 times better.
Oh, that's great. That's great news.
They sound a lot clearer than before. It was kind of muffled before. So it came out really good. Two more comments. I know you guys did a promotion on this, one of your commercials, but I can't find it on the website, the whole mock draft thing. Where can I find that?
Go to pfwonline.com. Is it up yet, Paul?
Well, are we talking about the writer's mock draft?
The contest.
It should be on Patriots.com now.
Patriots.com?
It should have gone live today, right?
Chris Ferreira, why don't you send us an email, let us know where that mock draft contest can be. Well, you should start seeing promotion for it today.
On Patriots.com.
Yeah.
And if it's not up right now, it will be up within the next 24 hours.
Okay, because I know I heard the commercials you guys had maybe some time back when I was downloading the podcast, so I don't know if there's been any changes from that time to this. So I was just wondering, because I looked for it just before I left for lunch, and I couldn't find it. And
Michael, I have pegged you already as the preseason favorite for the mock draft contest. I think that you're going to win the whole thing. So make sure you get your entry in there, and we may or may not rig it for you.
I wish, because there's a good chance I might be coming up to Boston in September. So.
You're going to buy lunch that'll guarantee you a spot in the top five.
That'll be good. I'd love to get to meet you guys. But the last point that I want to make, I heard on another show they were doing an interview with Darius Butler and Donald Brown from UConn.
Yep.
And, I mean, those guys, I mean, they sound so down to earth, so that they had their stuff together, and being as Belichick himself went down to UConn to verify on their pro day, I was wondering, is there any chance that we can draft one or both of them? I know they're going to be like late first or early second, and we might have some needs elsewhere. But I was just wondering to hear your feedback on it, because I know Paul Perillo did something for Patriots.com. And he spoke glowingly of him. But the only thing that I saw is that apparently he didn't have any interceptions last year. He only had four, breakups, pass breakups.
Yeah.
Yes.
I loved Butler. I don't know how you guys watched
the,
a lot
in terms
more
of the production,
do.
He's the anti-Smith out of Wake Forest.
Yeah. Alfonso Smith.
He looks like a shutdown corner because apparently no one threw to him. But, yeah, great athlete, great playmaker. I actually was talking to somebody this weekend about him who's met him and talked to him a little bit and said he is a phenomenal kid. Just, like, great kid. Not the typical cornerback, wide receiver,
prima donna
attitude. That he is just a great kid. Wants to do anything for the team, anything, just down to earth.
He had a really good pro day. Too,
and he's a great athlete. He played wide receiver for them. He used to get multiple snaps a game.
They
not
showed
just
a lot of those.
Once
did you already watch cornerbacks?
No.
Yeah, they showed a lot of the offensive plays.
But he's
on his
a
tape.
Legit option for them at receiver when he was at UConn. So, and Donald Brown, I've heard a lot of good things. I think both guys are intriguing prospects.
Yeah, I really
apparently
like Donald
Brown.
And I think just to answer your question, Michael, I think that with 3 second-round picks, Butler, I think, makes a lot of sense. And
certainly.
You mentioned that Belichick went and looked at him personally. I think that means something. I don't dismiss that he was actually on hand for that pro day.
Well, it seems that apparently the production, Donald Brown, I really didn't look at the numbers, but apparently he's got like an insane amount of yards the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I heard him talk, and he is just so eloquent, smart. And apparently, he's very active in the community, too.
Yep.
He's got, like, a leadership program back home where he grew up. So, if there's a Patriot stereotype, a Patriot mold, I'm pretty sure that guy fits the mold. Productive, team leader, and just an overall, top-notch person. So, I know we got needs elsewhere, and my dream draft would be, like, my Aluga and Connor Barwin. But I could find a space in my heart for these two guys because, they would really contribute to the team.
I agree.
So it's nice to hear from you guys again, and then I hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right, Mike in Puerto Rico.
Thanks for calling in,
Mike. Brian in Santa Cruz has emailed back, and it was, in fact, a he, not an e. So he's
I'm
revised
glad that,
his
I'm glad good. He cleared that up for you, Fred.
He's revised his e.
But I really liked Butler a lot. I thought that his athleticism really came through. And understanding their highlight tapes, so there are a lot of good plays. But I thought that he looked like one of the better athletes on the field, no matter who they played. And it's not like, you're at we watched the wide receivers as well, Andy. I don't like the kid from Cal Poly.
Ramsey's Barden.
Huge. 6'6", just outjumped everybody. He was the best athlete on the field.
And the biggest,
he was never open.
That's what I wrote. He was a tall man among boys.
That's what I wrote. And I said he was never open.
Steals from me again.
He was never. Did you write that in your comments? Because I didn't. See
I did.
Any,
I didn't, but I didn't
see,
write him.
I didn't see any comments in the database.
I dated him on my personal one.
Okay, I just felt like he was bigger than everybody else, and that allowed him to make plays.
Now
he
I would
never
take a
open.
Chance on him. Just a jag in training camp.
That's what I said to him.
Yeah, but people are saying he's a second or third round pick.
No thanks.
Let's see another big story that. Is ongoing is this draft Bible? What's it called? That had
NFL draft Bible.
NFL draft Bible had
they're going down, shooting the guns.
Yeah, a list of names of players who apparently, allegedly, failed the drug test for various reasons, not just performance enhancing drugs, but also marijuana. And they're sticking by it. Agents have come out and said this is not right. Although they're not really, a lot of them aren't denying it directly.
Right.
They're saying that we haven't been. Informed of this.
I thought it was very funny the way that on BJ Raji they went way around the long way to grandma's house just to say he didn't get a letter, so that means they can't talk to him, and if they can't talk to him, that means he's not guilty.
Right.
Well, anyway,
either you know that you took it or you don't.
Yeah, not so hot. Amy writes in, hello to the doctor, and of course, congrats to Mr. and Mrs. Hart. My question this week is about the players that have rumors about them failing drug tests at the combine, players like Raji and Brian Cushing, and what does this do to their draft stock?
Well, I think they're two very different things. One is performance enhancing,
which
to me
and they're
is
really
different.
Denying that,
right?
Adamantly.
Well,
denying
he's
that.
Been there's been whispers for him kind of all along.
Yeah, Eric talked to us about combine comments,
but Raji. This just kind of keeps with the comparisons to Miami defensive tackles named Will Fork and Sapp. Sapp's a guy who drug issues dropped his status.
Yep.
And he's been compared to those types of players.
Dan Marino.
That's
right.
That one was one that supposedly was made up. The rumors were that the Dolphins made it up, right, because they wanted to get him.
That's the rumor. I don't know if it's true.
I just, to me, I think there's a lot of guys, maybe he was stupid, but a lot of those guys in that locker room probably use recreational drugs in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, some of these people, I saw that now they think Raji could be like a third-round pick.
Huh.
Well, you go from the top five to the third round because the guy smoked weed?
See, well, but the other thing is judgment. You know when the combine is. You know when you're going to get tested. Even if you are a little a toker, you can't stop a couple months before then just to make sure you're clean.
Well, it's
a question of judgment, you know?
I understand that, but immaturity is not something you can overcome.
Well, it can't. Yes,
if a guy is taking performance-enhancing drugs to get into the NFL, I have serious concerns of how good he really is,
right.
What he's going to do if he's limited in what he can take, but I'm not naive to think that you might have to cut it cold turkey, but that worries me, whereas I think if a guy, sure, he's not a top five pick anymore. I do not want to hand him $30 million. But if I'm a team in the teens, 20s, and all of a sudden B.J. Raji slips, and I say, you know what, I feel like my locker room, my environment, my
absolutely.
Teammates around him, my coaches will teach him not to be immature anymore.
If that's the biggest problem he has is marijuana,
right.
It's not affecting my draft stock.
Not at all.
If I think the guy's worth
a steal.
And as much as Sapp slipped, he was still a first-round pick.
And
right.
He was in a dominant player for over a decade.
I don't know whether he stopped doing weed or not, but it didn't hurt him.
Wow. Yeah,
right.
I could easily see Mangini in Cleveland taking a chance at number five with Raji if he wants to take the same defense that he ran here and with the Jets.
Right.
Sure.
And I think Tony Grossi took him, if I'm not mistaken, in the Writer's mock draft.
So, other teams might say, oh, you know, that's a problem. But if a guy like Mangini, who knows that he needs a centerpiece of his defense like that, has that pick there and other teams he knows aren't going to take him, He could still end up being a top five
pick.
Not
to mention, you have everything else to go on, not just football. I'm talking about you've interviewed him, you brought him in for a workout.
Yep.
You have at least a surface vibe of who he is, whether this was an isolated thing, whatever it was. You have a vibe of who he is as a person.
Well, that's the thing, too, because some of these teams, they might not come out and say it, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of these teams, when they do their homework, find out about these things before they become public.
Right.
And say, well, yeah, and then when it does become public, they kind of are like, well, they might not say it, but they already know about it, so
right.
It's really not as big a deal to them.
Plus, it's some of the stuff that you got from Nick Caserio, Andy, and talking about that with the interviews. They know the stuff going in, and they want to see how it's handled. Now, they also weigh how much the guy knows that the question's coming and is prepared to answer it. You know, so there's a little game of cat and mouse that goes on with that regard. But I think the larger point that I totally agree with you guys on is if it's marijuana – that's okay with teams. Hey, I don't want to be cynical, but maybe the teams instruct their players a little bit on how to sort of get around those tests and prepare for those tests. If it's performance-enhancing drugs, now the team doesn't know how good the player is.
Right.
And how much those drugs may have affected his ability to get in that first-round conversation in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So now that affects the team. Marijuana, I don't think, affects the team. That might be an overly cynical way to look at it. But I think all the team cares about,
that might be how the team looks
taking
at it.
Taking that a step further, performance-enhancing drugs is an immediate suspension in the National Football League. The marijuana isn't.
Right.
And so even there, there's a bigger risk if you take a guy because, boom, he could be gone 4 games.
Eight
games.
Is it right that you come into the league, let's say the Cushing and Matthews, these are steroids. Do they come into the league already
with
in the program
suspension,
now?
You mean?
How does that work?
It's a good question.
I don't think you could.
I don't think so because they're not
under contract.
Now, I know the first hit on a steroid, no matter what anyway, is already 4, but like you said, is it more than that?
I don't think so because, I would sue.
They have to do it while they're under
I accepted
contract,
an invitation to the combine.
Well,
I didn't sign a deal with you. I don't work for you.
Yeah.
Maybe once they do get under contract, their random testing isn't exactly random.
Right.
It's like,
I don't think you can do that either.
No, well, but they might get tested sooner.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Well, are you in the program, I guess is what I'm saying. Maybe not subject to a suspension, but are you already in the program?
I would assume not.
I don't know.
But
I don't know
that's
the
a good question.
That.
That's
because didn't that happen like Ahmad Bradshaw?
I mean,
he had a college incident that caught up with him as a Giant?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I think that was something to do with probation or deferred
sentence.
It was, and it was weird, too, because they never really talked about specifically.
I'm still questioning their judgment. Even if it's a PED, they should be taking HGH because it's not detectable.
Okay, so Fred is now...
Fred now advocating the use of HGH.
And the NFL just picking guys that they think might be taking drugs and testing them every day. That's not legal.
It's not think. If you fail the test, you have probable
cause.
But
if you call them random tests, you can't do that.
I know.
They have to be random.
There's got to be something.
You have to have some integrity, Fred.
No, but I think there's got to be something where if you fail this test at the combine, we can test you.
That's what I don't know. If it's now put in your rookie deal that
that's
you
the
have
thing.
Failed,
if
blah,
I'm
blah, blah.
If I'm the Minnesota Vikings and I'm signing someone who failed because of a PED, I'm saying you're going to get tested for the first 6 months you're with our team. Or
No, if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, I'm not, because I don't want him tested any more than he needs to be. If I'm the NFL, I want him tested.
Yeah, that's a good
if
point.
I'm the Vikings, I'm fighting it.
Yeah,
that's exactly how I feel.
I don't want him suspended. I want to get my 8 games in.
Well, I want to deter him from doing it.
I think league would have to do it, not the team, because the team wants him on the field as soon and as often as possible.
Yeah. All right, get that guy with the wizard. Have him
the Wizinator.
The
Wizinator.
We all have wizards.
Who's that? Ontario Smith?
Well, Eric, do you?
I think it was Ontario Andy. Smith. That was a good call right there.
From the Vikings?
Yeah.
Joe.
A break today?
You want it? Oh, it's 103. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Superliga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Superliga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs, the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew, and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line and saved by Reese.
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution!
Coming this summer to Patriots.com, it's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher, all pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you could do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Tammy in New York writes in, I just want to congratulate Andy on his new baby, and whoever said God doesn't have a sense of humor, he blessed him with a girl. Good luck with that.
Is right, Andy. Is this the lesbo? Hopefully my daughter doesn't
this is
follow
the lady,
in
the lady that he
Tammy's,
called a derogatory name.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Tammy. I'm just kidding.
On to football news. I'm so glad that Cutler has been traded. Hopefully we can stop hearing about the McDaniels-Cutler feud. I don't know how he'll fit into what the Bears do, but I do know that Coach Lovie Smith is a no-nonsense guy. Maybe he can coach some sense into that boy. Hopefully the NFL Network will now stop talking about it. By the way, why is Marshall Faulk still employed as a commentator? I can't stand him, and why can't he seem to say anyone's name right? Wow, he gets paid to do
he's
that?
He's not as bad as Emmitt Smith,
I do it
though,
here for free.
Yeah, but he's not employed anymore. They let him go.
Yeah. He just can't... as an update, Fred, officially,
Comcast people are going to lose NFL Network on May 1st.
Is that
they
official?
They are now running a scroll at the top of NFL Network programming. The last I saw, 24/7.
Wow.
Comcast subscribers will lose NFL Network.
That's not good.
You know who doesn't see that? Those of us who canceled it a couple weeks ago.
Well, I'm just, for a point of fact,
that's
anybody
not
that's
good.
Out there,
I'm a Comcast subscriber.
And
I might have to switch.
You promised me that you were going to Verizon.
See,
if
but
you
there
lost
you go.
NFL Network.
You're a Comcast subscriber. You love NFL Network, yet you didn't know that they were running that scroll for a week.
Well, I haven't been watching it lately.
Leading up to the draft, why would you watch it? It's the one time a year where they're relevant.
That's NFL Network's problem.
That's
no one watches
point.
It.
That's a good point. Falk can't even say McDaniel's right. A second grader can say that's so freaking annoying.
What does he call?
I have lunch for you, man. I will promise to buy you guys lunch if you promise not to share with Andy. That's for calling me a lesbo. I love the show and keep up the great work. So
screw you, Jamie.
No lunch for you, Andy.
And you wouldn't like that.
That's for calling me a lesbo. I like that too. Fred.
Yes.
We probably should get Andy up to date on. You know, the doctor played that little bit about the kicking competition between Gostkowski and Eric. Eric did some practicing while you were gone. Didn't go very well.
Well, I told him.
So,
I had,
no, 6-for-6
mixed, switching to the left.
No, we had mixed results. I don't think there'll be any
mixed,
A.
Mixed results.
A, I don't mixed. Think there'll be any switching
there
to the left.
There was no mixed
B,
results.
No moving
do
back
well.
To the 50.
Nothing was mixed. You couldn't get it over the bar.
I had better accuracy, Andy, than I expected. Much better accuracy. The leg strength was not what I quite anticipated
you
it
can't
to
reach.
Be. It just barely makes it. And some of them fall a little short.
I'm going to give you a rough.
That hurt, didn't it?
I'm going to give you a rough paraphrase of how,
not
how Eric.
Getting there isn't barely making it. Barely making it is just going over the crossbar. Yeah,
they had an argument.
You're not barely making it.
They're falling just under the crossbar.
I didn't miss this.
This was good. No, this was good,
funny.
Andy.
It was funny.
They had an argument over whether or not it was better to be wide left or right or short.
With plenty of distance.
With plenty of distance.
Like wide right short. With plenty of distance or short and accurate.
For a man, wide left, a bomb.
Right.
Chicks dig the long ball. I want to boom it and say, if I had any accuracy, I'd be in the NFL.
Right. Well, anyway,
not
Eric
dribbling
said,
it in there.
Eric said he had about 20 kicks, right?
Yes.
And they
about
almost all of them were straight. Straight and true.
So you're like an 80-year-old golfer.
Pretty much.
But yeah. he only made
three of them went over the bar.
Whoa.
He said, I only made a couple. To which I said to Fred, he knows how many he made, right? We can all agree that he knows exactly how many he made. He said a couple. I'm going with one. He goes two.
That's three, I said.
I
said three.
You amended it later.
But I just like he's willing to admit that it was terrible, awful, and can you imagine how bad it had to have been? For him to admit that, based on how he describes,
then we got
everything
into the
else
whole
in his
thing
life,
of,
like his art career.
They were falling short, you know, and the whole thing. That's because you're adding the 15 yards of the punts again.
So you got no chance, huh?
No, there's still time.
Well, your leg's not going to get ridiculously stronger in the next.
It doesn't need to get ridiculously stronger. It only needs to get like a yard or two.
I just
got to
work out.
But either way,
shoot.
This is going to be embarrassing for you.
Maybe
the way you talked a couple months ago.
Maybe.
Well, luckily he
I
didn't
had to hype it up, though.
No. Not maybe. If you're, I don't care if you go 10-for-10 and they're barely getting over.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing because you talked it up like, I might step back to 50, do a little lefty. You don't know.
You certainly made it sound like you were going to try to entice him into a distance contest.
Right.
Move back to the 50. Because he would think
that
there was
that
no
impression.
Because he would think there would be no way you're going to make him from 50.
Did you go by yourself?
Evidently, that's correct.
Oh, yeah.
His thought was correct.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he has one of those
bring
little
with
things.
Me?
I told him I thought Kamani might come and hold the ball.
All
for him.
Right, with that.
I hate the world, and I got two friends.
did you ever actually kick a ball in college?
Yeah, but I'm one of them, so really, no.
Yeah, I don't know, Fred. What?
Yeah.
Yes,
anyway.
I did.
Like, this was a long time ago. I'm old now.
You're not that old.
And
we should get into that.
36 is old.
The skinniest guy who works out the most on this show is now eating an orange while I eat a calzone because his cholesterol is that of a 90-year-old fat guy. Right?
And for some reason, Fred, they seem to want to pick at me because my cholesterol is fine.
Well, you know,
because I'm the fat guy who eats calzones.
Well, you are.
I went to the doctor.
That is accurate.
A few weeks ago.
I don't know why you have to make fun of me.
Not the doctor who produces our show.
You went to the doctor a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because they wanted to retest my blood work because during my regular physical in the fall, my cholesterol number was higher than it had been in the last few years.
Plus, you had signs of menopause. Anyway, go ahead.
See, that hurt more from him. If I had said that, you would have kept right on going.
But
it would have stunned you a little bit.
A little bit.
All right.
So they made me do it again, and it was still equally high. And they're like, oh, they called me back, and they're like, yeah, it's still high. That's two in a row. We want to put you on medication. I was like, what?
Eric doesn't like the medication.
I don't want to go on medication.
You got to go on a statin.
No, I don't have to go on a statin.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. No,
you want to lower your cholesterol.
No, he should. But I don't have to do it with medication is what I'm saying. My cholesterol was high like 5 years ago, and they told me this. So they said, if you have certain things in your diet, you should cut them out. Like if you have a lot of
calzones,
well, like cheese or like potato chips or things that are like fatty or whatever.
Great, yeah.
Cut those out.
Just described Paul's diet.
I did. Yeah.
My calzones. I mean, my cholesterol's fine.
I'm right there with him.
Within 6 months, it had dropped below 200. So they were like, oh, so that's all it was. It was just what you had.
So
in your
you
diet.
Feel that you've been straying so I think I might from
have
that been, diet?
I think I might have strayed a little bit in the last year or so.
Yes, he's been eating with us. Remember what he used to eat, like a grape and a fig?
Do you remember the first year that he came on the road with us and he used to blow us off every week?
Right.
Now he's coming with us all the time and he drinks beer, wings, leaves half his pizza at the table.
So I'm going to now for the next 2 months before I have my next test, I have to sort of cut back again to try to see and to show them that I don't need the medication.
But okay. You say the next 2 months. Isn't that a little Mike Mamula like? Like you're prepping for the combine?
Well, that's what they said.
I told them, just go on the medication and eat whatever you want.
No, because the medication has potential side effects, and I don't want to deal with that.
I agree with that.
Sexual side effects.
How would he ever know?
Why do I get that look?
Because it hurts more coming from you, Paul.
No, I understand that, but that was a bad look.
Eric,
give me a bad look right there.
You're cramming.
Just a little bit. You're cramming
for this. You entertained me yesterday. Today you're upsetting me.
Okay.
You're cramming for this test, but that's not really the approach you should be taking.
Oh,
is it sustainable? Is what you're going to do sustainable?
Like, yes, it is.
He's going to die. He's going to pass the test and then go back to eating calzones and die.
Oh, he's going to go back to his diet. He knows that he can't eat that crap.
I can't stray as often. What I thought was I was having smaller portions of the things that I like desserts and cheese and stuff. But apparently I can't have it as often. I still have to have a small amount, but I can't have it as often.
You sure it's not the stress? Because stress can do it, too, from the kicking thing that's coming up.
There's no stress.
In the gallery exhibit.
There's no stress.
There's no stress?
Plus, I don't think
no. Okay.
Stress is blood pressure, not.
Stress is blood pressure, though, yeah. And my blood pressure is perfect.
Well, first of all, is it hereditary? Does your dad have
Well, I asked my parents about that, and they both had relatively high blood pressure. And
at this age?
Well,
I don't know. I didn't ask them about how far back it was, but my doctors even said some people have normally high cholesterol.
Right.
So they said you could very well have normally high cholesterol, but then in the next breath they're forcing me to take medicine.
Well, that's
so I'm not.
They're
gonna
in cahoots
medicine,
with pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly.
That's the problem there.
Exactly.
Suddenly, Grandpa Parolo showed up.
He's right, though. A lot of them.
I wouldn't go on medication either. I would try to fix it. He's too young. I mean, it's like these people that get like hip surgery or knee replacement at like 40.
Right.
You can't be. That's like the last resort.
It's the last resort.
You're gonna need another one.
Right. You got to do it like every 5 years. You got to do everything else first. So, and I agree with Chris Ferreira did what you're talking
then
about.
Then why did you take steroids?
What? He wanted to make the league.
Chris Ferreira took the medicine. Like the doctor said, you have high cholesterol. He took the medicine and then went out and got a calzone afterwards. He was like,
"That's right. That's what I told Eric to do."
More. That's what Chris is doing. That's
and
why
Chris
he'll
is gonna have side effects when
he'll be dead by 40.
Right. Idiot.
No side effects. He'll be dead.
No offense,
he's in a coffin.
That's the side effect. He'll
be dead.
Yeah.
All right. You don't have to be that
and
dire.
By the way, you're right there with Paul on the diet.
Yeah.
Have you had a physical?
Yeah, I take Zocor.
He asked you if you had a physical.
What is Zocor?
Not in the last year.
Cholesterol?
Yeah, it's like Lipitor.
Why don't you do a yearly?
He just turned it to me in school. I know the answer to a question. It's not the one I was asked, but I'm going to answer it anyway.
Bill Belichick, Wednesday afternoon.
Why don't you get the yearly physicals?
I have consistently over the last decade or more had one at least a year.
Yeah.
For some reason this year I fell a little behind.
Is it the finger?
What about the finger? Yeah. Oh, they do the finger.
You don't like it.
Oh.
What?
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do it.
Wait a minute. You are on cholesterol
medication?
No,
I was told I have the prostate of a teenager.
which teenager?
What is wrong with
that? He makes that comment and then he goes, the old,
and they didn't really say that. That's another joke he stole from some comedian he saw late night.
What a beatdown North Carolina gave Michigan State.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It was embarrassing.
Speaking of the, what's his name? The center for North Carolina?
Oh, Hansbrough?
Tyler Hansbrough.
Jerk.
Jerk?
You see him after the game, and I always thought this about him, but now it's confirmed. Looks at the media, goes, yeah. I made a pretty good decision staying for another year, huh? And he's like looking over everybody and nodding his head.
I don't know one media guy who thinks he made a bad decision. I know. Because I also don't know one media guy who thinks he's going to have any kind of a successful NBA career.
So I'm wondering, like is he really like answering the question that people were asking him all year? It's like, you know, how
– in his own mind that he like passed up being the number one overall pick to go back to school, where he passed up being like the 27th pick in the draft.
Right. I don't like him.
I don't like him either, but to me, you just look at him.
There he is.
Look. The games he plays.
Perfect timing.
He's got eyes. He just can't trust.
Saying it right now. Look at his face. Look at his face. And he's just like, yeah, I probably made the right decision.
You know
is what he was saying?
Yep, exactly.
I think that's probably the part, and I agree with you. He had a very smug look on his face right there.
Yep.
And I admit that I don't like him.
Who was questioning that decision? I don't know anyone.
I don't know any media guys.
He's
that
probably Rodney Harrison. Like he motivates himself by pretending everybody's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
They may have been surprised they decided to stay, but I think most media guys, most college basketball fans, think he's going to be an average at best pro because they don't know how he's going to get those shots off at the pro level.
You know who's going to be an average at best? The guy from Pitt, too, is coming out. Blair?
DeJuan Blair.
He's what's his name? He's Big Baby. Same guy. Big fat guy, can rebound,
play
a little bit.
I don't know if he has Big Baby skills.
But that's my point. He's not going to be that good. He's going to be a nice NBA player in all likelihood if he gets on the right team. But if he thinks he's going to be a stud.
He's not tall enough to play the way he plays in college.
And he jumps like you.
Chris from Bozeman, Montana.
That's what it is.
Hey, guys, I was wondering if you'd mind taking a break from talking about Tom and Giselle's security guards getting trigger happy to answer a football question.
We haven't even talked about that, so
I promise
we
to say.
About we started that for 30,
yeah, but 30 like for 30 seconds. Seconds. We spent more time on your freaking cholesterol.
I promise to say something nice about Flash if you do. So here's my question, and it may be a bit blasphemous, heretical. A lot of Pats fans I've talked to are looking for a Ted Johnson type thumper in the draft. I get that. Ted Johnson was a very good Patriot, but how important is that thumper type to the defense today? Here's my thought, and maybe I'm way off, but with the recent rule changes favoring the offense, the growing popularity of the spread and four wide receiver sets, is it possible that in our 3-4, Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, that's for Eric, would rather run it. You didn't get that. That's an inside joke from last week, Andy.
We'll explain it.
Would rather run it with 2-3 down middle linebackers, or would it still be better to have 1-3 down guy like Mayo and 1-2 down thumper like Maliuga or Jasper Brinkley, and then bring in a guy like Gary Guyton on third downs? I just think that with more and more teams throwing on first and second downs, wouldn't you rather have a linebacker who can play the run but also drop into coverage if need be? So that's my theory, and it's not very popular, but I don't think we should rule out smaller middle linebackers like Laurinaitis just because they are not a thumper in the Ted Johnson mold like Jasper Brinkley. What do you think? Oh, and Flash is great.
Yes.
I think he's onto something.
Well, but I don't know who's disputing.
I think he's all over the map on the – on the email. I totally agree. I agree with you guys, and I agree with the emailer. I think Ted Johnson types are going to be dinosaurs.
Right.
I think they're things of the past. But Ray Mallory, I don't think that he is a one-down player.
God, no.
No, I think
he's a three-down linebacker.
If you had him and Mayo, he's more of the thumper, quote-unquote.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to take him off the
field. He's not limited in terms – well –
number one.
See, there's going to be guys that come off the field.
Gerard Mayo is probably going to start coming off
somebody's
the field more often
the field
as his career progresses.
They're not DBs.
Right.
DBs are coming on. You're not allowed to play with 14. So when those two or three defensive backs come on, Vince Wilfork and fill in the blanks have to come off. Sometimes it's going to be two linemen and one
linebacker.
That's
why I thought he was kind of all over the map. I think that you missed.
But it's also like,
I don't think you want two linebackers to be three-down players. I don't think that's going to happen. If you're going to have your two inside guys never leave the field, I think that's a pie in the sky. Wow, we have these.
But that's
these
what I would say, like
Brian Urlachers, that just was so good and so versatile, we never have to take him off the field.
Right,
you're not going to get that.
It's an ideal scenario, and you don't pursue it because to pursue that, you'd have to take two guys in the top 10 and do. But like, I think the Brinkley thing is just it's who he is. I mean, how would he fit as a Patriot? What are his skills? He would look nice on first and second down or whatever in running situations next to Mayo. He's not going to be running sideline to sideline, showing his speed and, you know, sniffing out screens and making – that's just not who he is. That's also why he's going to go late in the draft and not in the top 10 picks like Gerard Mayo. But, I mean, you take what you can get. If there's – you know, you mold how you use a guy to his skill set.
Yeah, I agree. And defensive backs are coming in. Andy, you said it. I mean, defensive backs are coming in. Someone's got to come out. And those guys that are coming out are the bigger defensive linemen that don't offer you much in the pass rush, Vince Wilfork.
Right.
Sometimes Ty Warren. And linebackers.
Right.
But, and usually those are going to be the inside guys because the outside guys are rushers.
And getting to the guys he brought up, Laurinaitis and Maualuga, I think just looking at them, how they play, Maualuga is a more physical player, is a more thumper-like player. But, I mean, I think Laurinaitis could play next to Mayo.
I don't think he's
quite as physical as Maualuga, so he's maybe not quite as good a fit on the inside in a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, that's where I really agree with the email.
I think he could probably play here next to Mayo, and I think they would use him and put his skills to use. And so if you gave me a preference, I would take Maualuga. I think he's a better player.
I agree.
I think he's more physical. I think, first and foremost, a 3-4 defense in general, when you two-gap and all those things, you want the more physical player, whether you want to call him a thumper or whatever you want to call. I want the physical guy. And I think he's more a 4-3 linebacker. I think he will have some success in those. And I don't think the speed is very – I mean, I think even the speed is comparable, so I'd take Maualuga.
Okay.
But nobody's looking for Ted Johnson.
No.
Certainly not high in the draft.
I think that's the overall premise of the email, and that I think we all are 100%.
I mean, we started talking about it 3 or 4 years ago, how – you know, Bill was kind of showing interest in these smaller, Jonathan Vilma, all the guys out of Miami, basically. If you're a Miami linebacker and you could run, Bill was interested in you.
And I also want to say, too, DJ Williams.
Yeah, all those guys.
But I think Ted Johnson, I think, is being remembered as the guy who finished his career.
Right.
Ted Johnson was a guy who could play 3 downs
early
in his career. Now he was definitely a run stopping thumper, to use the term that the emailer used. But I think Ted Johnson was a little bit more versatile earlier in his career than people remember.
But there weren't as many three and four receiver sets.
One of the great things to watch in training camp with Ted Johnson is when they do the middle linebacker and the fullback, and they meet and they have this huge collision. Oh my God! It was like
those mountain goats,
you know, when they would hit their. What's you don't remember those?
I do, but we shouldn't.
He doesn't,
and that's the problem. I love that stuff, Fred. But the NFL and they're getting away from that, and for good reason. It's why people end up, you know, not remembering who they are when they're 35, 40 years old.
Gareth from Sydney writes in.
Sydney,
congratulations, Andy, on bringing a little S heart into the world.
That's
S heart. There's a period.
John in LA's column has grown on me, and I think it's a good addition to the website.
Cancer?
Unfortunately, John's phone calls haven't, and Two Gender blowing him up was the best thing he has done since he took over Gary's job. Anyway, on to football. I don't see any college football, so the Draft Prospect Review videos are great. Available on Patriots.com.
Where we preview the prospect.
You would have been proud of me.
Every Friday we have the Draft Prospect Report.
Nope.
No, actually on Wednesday.
Every Wednesday we have the Draft Prospect
Will
Report.
Will you tune in to...
Friday is preview. The roster report.
It's actually preview the prospect.
Review where we preview the prospect.
Of the guys who have been spoken about by the media to go in the top couple of rounds, I wasn't that impressed was Alphonso Smith. He was good when playing near the line of scrimmage or in short zones, but looks like he would struggle in deeper coverage. Also, Sean Smith is not an NFL corner. He might make a decent safety, but not a corner.
Totally agree about Sean Smith. Too big.
I think most people do. That's kind of the book.
Is that the guy that's 6'4"?
Yeah.
Biggin.
Victor Macho Harris is an intriguing later round pick. He may be a little bit slower than some of the other corners, but is a natural playmaker. Plus, how could you go wrong with a guy named Macho? With the safeties, I agree that William Moore seems to be the most well-rounded safety in the draft, but it would be interesting to see if Bill goes after Rashad Johnson, who seems to have good hands, good range, due to how Bill seems to want a deep center field playing safety.
He's a Saban guy.
And, the system.
Randall
Gay-like transition should be quick and studious.
This is from the 3-minute videos in each player, so I could be way off. What do you guys think?
Paul, I think Paul just swore whisperingly on the air. He pounded the desk and said, S-H.
What happened, Paul?
I think I made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
Not in the issue,
in the paper? Oh.
No.
Okay. Let's...
On the video?
On the internet.
Oh.
Yes.
Who cares? That just bounces around cyberspace.
What was the question?
Well, how do you think his evaluations were based on 3 minutes of watching video?
Great.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty much in line with what. Andy, you didn't watch these guys yet?
No.
That's unfortunate. Eric, you did, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But we were kind of in agreement on almost everybody.
Pretty much, yeah.
The Sean Smith from Utah, I mean, great athlete, but I thought he looked like
Sean
he
Smith?
Was...
Were you Fred?
Yeah. I thought he was behind on a lot of coverage. I don't know if he has enough flexibility to play corner. It looked like... You know what he reminded me of is Otis Smith that year where he was three sets behind the guy, but the ball kept getting thrown two yards short, and he would dive and make the play?
Right.
And everybody said, oh, it's another play.
Yeah, there's a difference between a guy at the end of his career doing that and coming into a league as a draft pick doing that.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a safety.
Okay.
Clearly has the athleticism to play. He's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, he's a good athlete.
Mike in Arlington, Virginia. First, I cannot believe the Broncos got the first two picks, a third rounder in Orton for Cutler and a fifth. I think we underestimated the stupidity of other teams in the league. Second, I'm very worried about next season as all this stuff comes about out about shots being fired at photographers during Tom Brady's second wedding in Costa Rica. Now, I know that these reports are still speculative. However, if true, they could have drastic consequences for the Patriots' upcoming season. It would seem logical to me that Brady should be suspended if his entourage interrogated photographers, then shot out the back window of a car. Now, I know Brady wasn't at a strip club and no one got paralyzed, but this incident is still very Pac-Man-esque.
Well, no, I don't know about the suspension.
I disagree with that.
I don't like it.
I don't like
if
it.
If it's true, I think he should go to jail. And
Brady?
Spend a, yes.
Tom Brady.
Yes.
No.
What? Because I think they are working under
his crying out loud. Will
authority.
You shut up? That's ridiculous.
You're not allowed to talk on this show, apparently.
No, that's, you know, these guys
are paid.
The guy who shot should go to jail.
See, I think the person who hires them and tells them what to do bears some of the responsibility.
All right, if this guy goes in front of a court and says, Tom Brady told me to shoot, okay, maybe then.
Whether he specifically told him to shoot or not, he's working under an umbrella of how his bosses want things treated.
No.
The importance that's placed upon making sure there's no photographs taken and all this, they bear some responsibility.
There's some culpability.
Nah. I know Brady hates the pop.
Wait, you guys are having a discussion. You just stopped in the middle?
No, I just want to finish.
Have you had any discussions with ownership on this?
No.
Because
no.
They were there, right?
I know. Supposedly? That's what I'd like to find
out. Beyond all this other, that would scare the crap out of me if I'm anybody. But if I'm the billionaire owner of the New England Patriots, and all of a sudden shots ring out at where I am.
See, I don't think that the people at the wedding knew this happened.
Well,
it
does
sound
like
that Jonathan went out and took the guy's memory card, threw it on the ground, then tossed a couple $100 bills.
It does sound like it happened kind of aside, like they took the pictures, they were interrogated, then tried to leave, and then off some, because I'm sure it's not like a little 20x20 plot she has down there. I'm sure it's a pretty big compound.
I know Brady hates the paparazzi, but that's his own self-made problem. If you choose to play in the NFL, win 3 Super Bowls, date supermodels, fly all over the globe, then what do you expect? It comes with the profession as well as Brady's lifestyle. If you can't deal with it, then he should have picked a different career. So guys, if these reports are true, then do you think Brady will be suspended? More importantly, do you think he should be suspended? Why not? Well Andy thinks he should be in jail for life.
No, in all seriousness, I think it should be, and maybe it's deferred. I think there should be some blame placed on the bosses here that in some way instruct their security guards how to handle things.
Well,
I'm being a little extreme. It's what I do.
Okay.
I'm only looking for three months in a Costa Rican prison.
Let's think about this.
That could be life.
I'm fine with that.
Let's think about this for a second.
Never hear from him again.
Right.
Let's assume that this is true. Okay? Let's assume these photographers did go on the property, take some photos.
Well, some of the reports were they were on a neighbor's property given permission.
By permission on a neighbor's property. That's where they got the photos from.
Apparently
that's
a neighbor who doesn't really
I also agree with Fred that we're taking the word of
that's all we
scumbags.
Can do. That's all we have to work with, reports.
Assuming it's all true, they were going there ostensibly to take photographs. They weren't going there to try to assassinate either one of these two people or anybody else
right.
there. Taking photos does not warrant being shot at.
If that's what we know, that's, you know.
No, there's no doubt that you don't pull out a gun and shoot at people with camera.
Right.
You don't
do
that.
That's, you know, exactly. Inevitably,
that's
really
not even a question.
And it's not even like, say, even you
they
can't
really try
I believe,
to intimidate.
Right.
Them, it,
say they thought, garbage. Like, they saw a thing in the trees and they thought it was like a sniper. This is not that case at all. They interrogated him, then they were going to their car and they were trying to leave.
Right.
And they were, like, trying to keep him there and kidnap him and take, like, this was like from a movie or something. It was just ridiculous.
And if this were true, God forbid that shot didn't just go clean through the window.
Right.
And hit one of these guys.
Now you're talking a whole different.
But and the bottom line
but
is
that's the attempt. But that was the attempt.
I know. I understand
and
that.
And very close. I mean,
yeah.
But the bottom line is, it's also not even about privacy. It's about she made a deal that the exclusive photos were going to be sold to somebody else.
Right.
So this is a business. I mean, this is essentially like a drug dealer protecting his business deal. I mean, that's why
it could be perceived
again.
As a
reportedly,
hit. Right.
Reportedly, right. She had a deal in place to sell the photos.
I just and I did see one part of the report that said that Brady and Giselle are not being held responsible for this, but the authorities are looking right. into it and questioning the security people. I think there's a level of culpability here, and I don't
Absolutely.
Like it at all. I
Absolutely.
Mean, just as a pure you know from a humanity standpoint, I think it's ridiculous. But
very.
I think to extrapolate from that he needs to be suspended for it.
Not just jail.
Well, here's the thing.
Just jail.
If
I'm sure he won't miss any
games.
He'll
miss like May, June, early July, then he'll be out. Don't worry.
If these were like two over-aggressive bodyguards who went above and beyond what they were told to do, you can't really blame Tom or Giselle for that. But if they come out and say, you know, we had orders that if anybody came on the property,
stop at all costs
there,
or whatever.
Do what you have to do.
No, of course.
That's a different
but
story.
But do you really think that they would go that ridiculously? Now, obviously, shooting. I don't think Brady told or Giselle. Probably
you
Giselle.
You would hope not.
Probably Giselle, first of all. Let's just say who makes the decisions around there, in all likelihood, is Giselle. I don't think she told him to shoot anybody, but there's an air of how important things are, how we handle things, that comes from the top in any business or relationship or whatever. So I think they should know that one of their security guards is a hothead who could fire, you know, you're responsible. You hired this person. You know, he has a gun. You're responsible on some level for what they do.
Yeah, I don't like it. In the report that I read today, even talked about one of Brady's friends came out and said he doesn't want to hurt anybody. Brady, you know, just wants to talk. And then they kind of. And they got him in the house and intimidated them and roughed them up a little bit. One of them pulled an arm behind the guy's back.
Yeah,
whatever. What is it? Like Andy said, it's like L.A. Confidential or something.
Yeah, it's
like
ridiculous.
Some movie.
Right.
It just played out kind of in a strange fashion.
And to me, it's even worse that it's supposedly a business deal.
And I hate
if it was legitimately their morals and their privacy, and we wanted this to be a small, intimate family thing. That's one thing. But if you're just protecting because you sold them for $1 million to people.com or some other website, that's ridiculous.
And I hate the paparazzi. I'm not taking their side at all, but they are human beings, and they don't deserve to get shot at because they took pictures.
Exactly.
John writes in, enough of the tabloid crap, let's talk draft.
I just want to point out that the emailer brought us back to the tabloid.
Right. We spent 30 seconds talking
about
it.
We glossed over it initially, and then we were brought back there.
Craig from Boxborough writes in, hey guys, in the leg. Just wanted to check in after 2 years of not emailing. Yes, Craig in Boxborough. We haven't heard from in a while.
Hey, Craig.
First off, Andy, congrats on the new baby. Second, I am starting to hate Clay Matthews. It seems like the media is hyping him up as first-round talent, while I believe he is second or third-round talent. I also feel that most USC defenders under Pete Carroll are frauds at the next level. Excluding last year's draftees, defensive players taken during the Pete Carroll era have not lived up to their potential. There are three players who I feel have been good in the NFL from USC in this span. Troy Polamalu, Lofa Tutupu, and the borderline choice Mike Patterson. I feel that Clay Matthews is a product of the USC system and is overrated. Do you guys think he is deserving of first-round selection?
Nope.
Who are the defensive players? No, I don't love either one of those guys. But who are the USC defenders we're talking about?
That have busted?
Yeah.
Keith Rivers, I don't think. I think he's going to be a good player.
Darnell Bing, where did he get taken?
Wasn't he third round? Or third?
Is that a bust?
I think third round pick. I'm trying to think.
And I will give our former colleague credit for that one. He was anti-Bing from the start. I don't really remember a lot of USC defenders.
I'm sure there's a couple linemen we're not thinking
what's
of.
What's his face last year that broke his jaw?
Rivers.
Yeah,
he's going to be good.
He was playing no bust there,
and he was playing very well when he got hurt.
This was before
Keith Rivers.
This was before.
He was the only guy that got a vote other than Mayo for rookie of the year, right?
Are we talking the Pete Carroll era?
Although the guy forgot about Mayo, right?
Right. But at least he thought of that another good rookie. Right. He thought Rivers was good.
Let's see, Dave from Connecticut.
But Matthews, I agree with him. I think he's a mid-round talent who
somehow has got promoted to first round.
The bloodlines, I mean, well, his name
but hold on. One of the things about Matthews, though, that is getting people to start looking his way is that he only, you know, played in the position for a little while, and there's a lot more upside for him.
In theory. Like, he's
just, well, why wasn't he playing? See, I think that's a negative, is that he was a special teamer for most of his career and could only crack the lineup.
Why
as a
wasn't
senior.
He playing? And you're the one who fears USC players because they're surrounded by talent.
It's to hard to judge them.
To me,
what I'm
he
saying.
Is it's hard prototype right, yeah. of that.
I just don't know a lot of. I mean, they've had some busts in general. I mean, like Mike Williams, the receiver.
I'm sure they have some. We're not thinking of defense.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I bet you there's a corner in there.
How many guys have they had? I think they're great college talent. That's a great collection. No one's had better talent than Pete Carroll over the last, 7-8 years. But I'm not sure how many of their guys have busted out.
Yeah. Clay Matthews will be a bust.
I think Matthews
unless if he goes late second, early third, he could end up being a very good special teamer and borderline starter, whatever. But if he goes as the 23rd pick in the draft to the Patriots, I think he'll be a bust.
And I know what they have had recently is a lot of defensive linemen that have been kind of, you know, a combination of those big run stuffers that, you know.
Well, what's his name? Ellis for last year.
Yeah.
You all right?
Are you okay?
I'm out of gas.
How did he play, by the way?
I don't know. He got hurt too.
Cedric Ellis.
He was injured too.
Because he went to New Orleans.
He played a lot though for them while he was healthy.
Did he have a hamstring? He had an injury.
But when he was playing.
They've had a lot of defensive linemen over the last probably 5 years that have gone day one of the draft. I don't know how they're all doing.
Right.
But I don't really recall a lot of USC
busts
that I can think of.
Not since McGinnis.
Mike Williams, that's a USC bust.
Yeah.
Dave from Connecticut, love the show. Have two quick questions about this year's draft. What are the chances the Patriots trade their first-round pick, possibly for a second-round pick this year and a first-round next year or in a later draft? Also, if they keep the 23rd pick, do they draft for need or do they take the best player on the draft board, even if it's a running back or wide receiver?
Well, the two might be the same. Their need might be the best player available because there are so many positions where they have needs and there are great players available.
And there's really only one position, I think we all agree, outside linebacker, where they might need somebody to come in and contribute immediately. Everywhere
right
else,
now, yeah.
it's depth, it's, you know, down the road, it's if this guy doesn't re-sign. They don't have a ton of glaring starting or play right away needs.
I agree with you, Eric. I think it's hard to say, even after they pick a guy, whether you could classify that as a need or a value pick, because Andy just mentioned they don't have a lot of glaring needs. To me, the only thing they could pick at 23 that would smack of a reach in terms of a need if they picked a safety. I don't think there's a safety worth picking at 23. They clearly need safeties.
Right.
You know, they only really have two right now with Merriweather and Sanders. They might
Sean
Springs. Who knows?
Tank Williams. Oh, okay.
Is he a linebacker or a safety?
He's the hybrid.
He's the key to the defense in 2008. Hybrid. I mean, 2009, according to Fred.
He's not a linebacker. Well,
right up until the point he gets cut.
I was thinking more in terms of after August when he gets cut. I was thinking they might need some safety.
Oh, yeah, that was I did want to say Joey Galloway. I think he's going to be on the team, but I do want to see him in training camp. He's up there.
He's going to be running a 4-2.
But he's up there
about.
In the John Lynch range where I want to be able to see him with my own two eyes before I – because Lynch
he's
was immediate.
He's been awfully productive.
I know. I just want to see him. I just want to after the very first workout, if you want me to, I'll blog about it. I just need to see him with my own eyes. Those guys, when they're like 13-year veterans, you got to see him with your own eyes.
I mean, he has had like 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons until last year.
You got to see him with your own eyes, Paul. John Lynch had made like 17 straight Pro Bowls, and the first time I saw him, I said he's going to get cut. And he got cut.
If John Lynch had 5 straight seasons that he deserved to be a Pro Bowler.
But I never saw him. I didn't watch him on a day-to-day basis. That's why I need to see Joey Galloway. Don't tell me about the numbers. I just need to see him.
Sean from Edmonton. I'm really enjoying all the draft talk. I must say, though, I'm really not sure who I want the pass to take with our first rounder. There seem like there are lots of intriguing guys in the second round. Barwin, maybe one of the safeties, or a tackle like Jamon Meredith. But I don't really like any of the guys that are being projected at 23. I don't want a small, slow corner, so the only way I'd want a corner is if somehow Davis or Jenkins falls. None of the safeties have first-round talent, in my opinion. Paul just said that. I like Malauulu if he falls. I hated Matthews at first, but I was finally starting to buy into the hype surrounding him after what was apparently a tremendous pro day at USC. Apparently, he is the best of all three USC guys at pass coverage and rushing the passer, so that sounded good. Then he got caught up in the latest round of steroids allegations. I don't care if he takes steroids, but I don't want guys who get caught.
Oh, God. Well said.
That's the best email ever.
We all know Bill loves value. I'm not sure where it is at 23. What do you guys think? Keep up the great work. I can't wait until the draft podcast.
Who's this?
This is Sean from Edmonton.
I love it, Sean.
There's a name you left out there, though, the name that we've been talking about since the combine, Larry English.
Outside linebacker?
Outside linebacker, Northern Illinois. I know the argument.
You like Larry.
The argument against him is that, oh, he played at a small school, slower competition. But one of the ways you can sort of offset that is look at how he performed in the Senior Bowl.
Indeed.
Or the East-West Shrine, whatever game those guys play in. I think he played at the Senior Bowl. He had a great week and did well in the game. So against his peers at a higher level of competition, he held his own. I think that week of practice
is more important than the actual game, anything that they do postseason-wise. I think the most important thing is what they do
in their college career.
I mean, that's...
So let's not pretend Northern Illinois is like
it is. I mean, it's a major school.
It's a 1A school. Sure,
it's produced now.
Michael Turner and there's another running back recently. I mean, they produce some NFL talent.
Sure.
It's not like a throwaway.
Northeastern.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And they wear the same uniforms, right?
It's not what they stole. It's not a 1AA program. Is my point.
And no one cared because no one knew what Northeastern wore.
Matt from Boston, would the Patriots be interested in a bright young safety like Atari Bigby? He might be one of the hardest hitters in the league.
Slow.
I would think we'd go after Mike Brown, but he gets hurt way too much. When healthy, he was the cornerstone of the Bears' defense. I love how during every show there's one email saying Flash is great and one saying it sucks.
I do, too. That is good. But Fred only really pays attention to the ones that say Flash is great and the ones that say it's, well, that's your problem if it sucks.
Funny you said that because I can't really remember any that say it sucks.
Because he does either doesn't read them or like skips over or poo-poos them. How's the pause button?
We're still working on it. We can't do anything until Flash decides to do Adobe. Let's see.
Flash is doing Adobe?
Let's see.
I'm not a big fan of Atari Bigby. I think he's a decent player who made some plays. I think he's kind of slow and can get really hurt in coverage, but he is a big hitter.
Is it a little weird though that they haven't brought in the Patriots haven't brought in somebody like that who's available? Just it looks pretty thin at safety, and you'd say generally they throw bodies at the wall.
That's why I'm wondering if the corners they kind of perceive as safeties as well.
And let's not forget Tank Williams.
Or maybe there's like. Like a guy like Brown, maybe it's kind of in the same boat as Harrison, where he might not be 100%. He's waiting until he's ready to go before he decides on something.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that they haven't signed any bodies. I just thought a body. I'm just looking for a body.
I agree.
I don't even really have bodies right now. I mean, could they play a preseason game with a second set of safeties? Really?
Yeah, Ray Ventrone and Matthew Slater,
Antoine Spahn.
Okay.
Let's see how deep he wants to go here.
I don't know, but if I'm the other team, I'm going deep.
And you know, who knew we had Roger Worley waiting in the wings and Tank Williams?
Yeah, he really believes that. You know, he thinks he's the key to the defense.
It's the age old thing in Boston. This happens in Boston all the time. The longer a guy is out, the better he was.
True.
But I was saying that last year before.
After he got hurt.
Well, before.
Then he became better. When he got hurt, he became a more integral part of the team.
Barry
Stokes was probably going to the Pro Bowl at tackle.
No, but Terrence Wheatley may have 25 picks this year because he was really coming into his own when he got hurt.
Cedric in Knoxville says, keep up the good work, and especially the arguing part of it, that's really fun. All right, I noticed that some of you guys like Larry English. Therefore, I went on YouTube and checked out some videos about Northern Illinois. The guy's a huge playmaker, no doubt about it. However, their schedule is pretty weak. I mean, they did not play very good teams, just average ones. Having said that, I really believe that if Bill happens to draft Larry English, he could turn him into a beast at outside linebacker. What are your thoughts?
I agree.
These guys like Larry English.
That's why I want Larry English.
I have been following USC for 6 years now, and I agree that they have one of the best recruiting classes of the NCAA each year, but they do not seem to get into the national championship game. I think that is because of the coaching staff. Pete Carroll is a good, overrated coach, period. I might be wrong, but I do not think that he is a caliber championship coach when USC loses each year against crappy Pac-10 teams. One last thought. I really fell in love with Ray Maliuga because he stood out as the top inside linebacker at USC this year, making plays after play, and because he could develop into a monster inside backer. If he is gone early in the draft, which inside backer do you think we could pick? Inside backer. I don't know. These guys are thinking.
Well, I don't think it's a huge need.
I don't think it'll take an inside linebacker.
I think they might take him because I think he'd be value. This gets back into that need versus value. I think he's a good, very good player.
Is he talking at 23?
I mean, we're saying it's not a need because, you know, we've got Mayo now. Well, but
it
really,
is. No.
There isn't a lot of depth there.
There isn't, but that's the same as safety and
corner.
No,
I know.
And I
just feel like you plug in someone to play the others. You have a good player, a foundation nucleus type player.
I mean, we got Brewski, but, you know, he's getting old.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't really care that
Mayo.
Much about the other one. I think you can get one. Like Gary Guyton was undrafted. I think you can get a guy to fill in on the other spot. Now, if it was Brewski and you didn't have anybody else, now that's a priority.
Or if you didn't have Brewski, if you just had Guyton. But
you have a centerpiece.
At least two guys who can play next to Mayo.
You have a centerpiece in Mayo. I don't think the other guy needs to be
a first-round pick.
Not a first-rounder.
Eric Alexander, if he ever stays healthy.
You have some bodies there that can play.
And you can.
That's a lot. I mean, just to focus on that as your need, when I think you have a hole at outside linebacker.
Yeah.
A bigger hole.
I think it's a bigger
more
need.
Concerned,
there's no doubt.
I'm much more concerned if I'm having a Guyton kind of player, which they have in Banta Kane and in Pierre Woods and those guys right now on the outside than I would be on the inside. Andy was on this with Adalys Thomas early in the 07 season. It's kind of a waste to have him inside. Because you don't really get to benefit from his playmaking ability.
Yeah.
Right.
I just think you can plug a guy in on the inside.
Kevin Paul.
And get
Joe in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, and yes, even two gender.
No, he's gone.
Put the doctor in there.
Yep, the doctor.
Fred, did you not plug the Draft Prospect Review podcast on the show? You probably did, and I just missed it, but plug it again. Draft Prospect podcast on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. Who is this?
Joe from Portland.
Why is Joe telling you to do your job?
This is another fine example of the excellent journalistic work of the PFW crew, except for maybe Jabba Parilla. Parilla, who seems to be missing or sleeping during half of them.
Nice.
Just kidding, Paul.
I took a week off, and I'm still I'm rung ahead of you.
I had to do the hosting duties last week.
Well done.
And I did your preview the prospects.
We always like to have a little fun, even when it's certain. Now, why were you people speculating on Friday about Rodney Harrison?
Because day, Karen came up with a story that Rodney said he will make his decision by June 1st. Whether or not
definitively
going to
by June 1st.
Wait, wasn't in January? It was like
a
couple weeks.
It was.
Now it's June 1st.
Now it's June 1st, yeah.
So he's clearly not healthy.
Right.
He says he's golfing, and I have a feeling.
My 96-year-old grandfather golfs. I mean, I need him to play safety in the NFL.
I have a feeling he's going to wait and see if that desire to come. I think it might be more mental.
And I think the fact that he's doing a lot more media appearances means that he's Rodney Harrison. No.
I'm the one that takes the day
off. He weaves
in
and out of the show. Is that Taylor? Fred, are you up to date on the prospects?
No.
I knew you were talking about you were going to bone up.
He was a little worried about it. He said,
Have you read Our Lads? What's the latest on their, chartreuse Our Lads newsletter?
I got to get in there.
Chartreuse.
I'm going over all the official combine numbers.
Okay.
They've got all the official combine numbers. So,
even the 40s?
Everything.
Then that's a lie.
Clock didn't.
I know.
So it's by hand.
That's why I was testing you. So there is no official.
Right.
Thank you.
Strippers writes, wants to know if you guys have any opinion on the Oklahoma players. Have you watched tape on Duke Robinson's, Phil Loadholt, or Nick Harris?
We have. Nick Harris has no shot of playing in the National Football League.
I didn't like Nick Harris at all. I agree.
Duke Robinson, I liked his film. I think he's going to be a good player. The one thing that jumped out at me, and I had to go in with Paul and remember this, was during the National Championship game, a lot of stupid penalties, which I don't like. And who's the other guy? Loadholt. I remember watching him, but nothing stands out, which not always a good thing.
He's a load to Holt. Big guy.
John in Dallas says, what are your thoughts on the Pats trading up to snag Curry? If not, if Maliuga does not fall to 23, what about moving up to sign him?
Curry?
I think Curry is one of the only draftees worthy of moving up to number three, but would like to get your take if it's too rich for the Pats.
I don't think they're trading up to three.
That's an awful long way to move up. I know you probably could nowadays because there's all different values.
That's one thing I wanted to mention to you guys. You guys put the value chart in there.
I'm efforting that.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a value chart that was devised a long time ago, I think, by Jimmy Johnson.
Mm. He's given credit.
He's given credit for it. I don't really think that he deserves credit for it.
From what I hear, that they don't use that anymore. It's changed.
Right.
But it still gives you a parameter, and that's why I think it's
worth running. Because
they still do these cockamamie trades that involve moving up in this round. Right. So you know they're using something to get to make sure the value balances
out. Fred's right. They have adjusted it, but I'm efforting trying to get some sort of new
updated version.
But it's still worth running because it gives you some sort of ballpark as to, okay, a third and a fifth, is that worth moving up, you know, eight spots in the second? I don't know.
Now, from what little I have read, this Aaron Curry guy seems as close to a blue chipper as you could get, no?
Well, what's your definition
like
of blue
Curry?
Chipper?
Like, you know, a sure thing.
I guess. But sure thing, I feel like he could be, as a draft pick, what Adalys Thomas has been as a free agent signing. Good, solid, making plays for you, but not, wow.
But to be fair, we haven't watched the linebackers yet.
No, I haven't, but I've seen some of him, and I don't love, he's not really a playmaker as a pass rusher. I feel, Derek Johnson. I think he's going to be Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson was like a top 10 pick, not even as high, and has been
flashed immediately, but really has done very little since.
Willie McGinnis was the number three pick in
four.
The draft. Four pick in the draft. He had a very long, productive career, but we've talked about this. Was he ever the best, the dominant defensive player? And no, he wasn't.
I certainly would think that if you're taking a guy in the top five, you're doing so with the hopes that someday you consider him among the best two or three guys at his position.
Right.
Impact player.
Right.
He's got to be able to have an impact.
You know.
And I'm not sure
a quarterback with a third overall pick. 5 years down the road, I want him to be one of the best two or three quarterbacks in football. Mm.
I think he's going to be a very good NFL football player. I'm just not sure he's going to be, impact player. And you're paying an
impact.
Now,
what about
player.
This Arakpo guy?
Oh, he scares me.
He's a funny guy.
That was your boyfriend when you left the combine.
He scares me. I love his look. Love everything he says, but sort of disappears at times. Isn't probably as good on the field as you'd like him to be.
Might be a tweener, too. Not really sure if he has that.
He's played for Will down there, and he's done a little bit in the 3-4 with his hand down up on 2 feet out in space.
He could play on Sundays, too.
Mm-hmm. I like him, but
better.
I have fears of Golston in my mind.
He can score the basketball.
He's a different type, a different build than Golston. We've said this before. He's like James Harrison. He's more of a stout, packed-in outside linebacker.
Dude is stacked.
But I have my fears because I kind of feel like some of the same questions as Golston. Is he not the football player that he is? He's the guy that
looks better
benches 7 million pounds. And I liked him at the combine. I really did.
Yeah,
this wasn't the year after Golston, I'd probably be higher on him.
He was a real nice player at Texas, but Andy brings up something, too. A lot of the stuff that we heard about Golston, about kind of zoning in and out, not playing hard in every play, we're hearing that about Arakpo, too. The initial reviews on Golston weren't very good.
Now, I think Golston can still
play. Probably be fine.
I'm not sold that he's a special teamer like everybody wants to joke.
But 13 tackles is, that's a pretty bad rookie year.
Now the funny thing is, Eric and I were talking about this, Mangini could make the wrong selection 2 years in a row. Supposedly they have interest in Arakpo, and he's in Cleveland now with the fifth pick.
Right.
He took Golston last year with the Jets. You know, maybe it's his coaching.
I think this is going to
be
a lot of fun.
Maybe Golston will break out under Ryan this year.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun because we really don't know exactly where these guys are going to go. Remember last year, the first four or five picks were signed. I mean, basically signed.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think we're really going to have significant questions. At some point, Detroit will probably express what their decision is. Because they'll probably have to start negotiating with the guy.
Yeah. And supposedly they've had discussions.
But beyond
with
that,
Stafford.
I don't think we're going to have the first four or five set in stone when we show up here on the 25th.
Bottom line is, I don't think this is a very good top of the draft.
No, it's better. Like Belichick.
I don't think there's any elite
Belichick
players.
On this again. What did he say, 20 to
40? 20 to 40.
20 to 40.
But they say that a lot, and I think that's true a lot. But usually there's one or two or three elite can't-miss prospects. Now, sometimes they miss. But going in, you think they're can't miss. Like Calvin Johnson.
Last year they talked about eight.
Calvin Johnson was.
Yeah, there's always that number that there's five, there's six, there's eight. But Calvin Johnson, everybody said he's going to be great. He's great. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe Crabtree would be higher if his situation wasn't what it was with the surgery and didn't run the 40.
And he's not a burner to begin with.
Right.
No.
So, but I told you this a couple weeks ago, Fred, when there's not a single player where I can't come up with a red flag or a reason why I'd be scared to draft him. Hmm. Calvin Johnson, have a red flag.
There were no red flags on him.
Even, Reggie Bush, there was the position, but I thought he was going to be great in the NFL at something, whether it was every down back or just playmaker. there's all these guys I wouldn't feel great handing, again, back to your thing, the money to. There's there's something about – that's why Eugene Monroe. He's my guy.
Eugene Monroe.
Top prospect for Andy Hart. Yeah. Eugene Monroe. Surest of things.
I think I might agree with you on that.
John writes in from Spencer, Mass. What about the defensive tackle?
Tonight, later.
What about the defensive tackle position? Will Fork is getting on in years, and even though he may be good for a few more, don't we need to get someone young in there to learn from Vince? Isn't there enough talent this year to pick up a good 3-4 defensive tackle like Raji from BC? Wright is good, but he's not a 3-4 stud like Vince. Vince is still on his first contract.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
he is. He'll be
ushering him out the door already.
Yeah. He's got 2 years left, correct? He'll be a free agent after the 2009 season, right?
So he has 1 year left.
He has 1 year.
I mean, 1 year left. He'll be a free agent after the 2009 season. Yeah. So, yeah, I understand you. I got to think they're going to re-sign him.
I do, too.
I think so.
I think they were really close until Haynesworth signed his deal. That kind of screwed things up.
Plus, there's the uncertainty with the if that gets done, that'll make it easier. If might not happen soon enough for them, but... If the CBA and the whole...
Well, I think that's a big part of it, too.
Of course it is. That's.
But I don't think B.J. Raji makes much sense. I think that's...
Well, if he slips to the third round, I'll take
him. Well, yeah. I mean, if you get him down in one of the 3 second round picks, absolutely.
How about the other guy?
I mean, I'm still assuming he's going to be a top 15
pick. I didn't like him very much.
Hey, and Gary...
What about the Ziggy?
I like Ziggy.
I liked him. I don't have my sheets in front of me.
Gary Gradecki writes in.
Gee, and come back, please.
And wonder if it's just a coincidence, and I really can't say this, but if you look up in Urban Dictionary, Dartmouth Surprise and Shart, he wonders if it's more than just a coincidence.
Shart, it's S period heart, not Shart. What if we put the middle initial L in there? So
well, I can say Shart. It's to accidentally go to the bathroom while trying to push out a fart. In other words, to gamble and lose. Tony was at the park, and a silent but deadly wound up being a shart.
Andy was walking back from the anchor bar in the elevator in Buffalo and sharted.
Now, Dartmouth Surprise, Dartmouth Surprise, I can't say, but it also has to
that
do with
that actually
it.
Comes from this show.
Yeah, it was an
Urban
Dictionary.
Wait, no. What is the definition of that? Because it didn't come totally.
I can't say
I just went down a road my wife doesn't want me going down.
Yeah, but she's not listening.
She's going down.
She's got two kids at home.
That's true.
Any significance to the names? Sydney,
what names?
Sydney Leanne?
Leanne is her mother's middle, my mother's middle name and her mother's middle name.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
Sydney is Deidre liked it and I liked it.
Beth.
And no, I went on to, I did see that because I went on, PFW in Progress. Mm. And there was like a whole discussion. Was she conceived in Sydney because, Beckham has a kid named Brooklyn who was conceived in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Or is it a guy? Because Sidney Poitier and Sidney I, Sidney Y, Sidney this. She liked it. I liked it. We picked it.
We didn't have anywhere near this amount of discussion of the name.
They did in that little chat room thing. But
no,
it was just the name we liked.
Actually, I was talking to Beth, and we both figured that there was significance to Leanne. Because I wouldn't think that was like a common middle name.
We
if
did
it was
it.
A first name.
We did it the first time around with...
That's pretty ironic that both of your mothers have that as a middle name.
Yeah.
Because that's even more rare.
No. Lee and Ann.
Oh, one is Lee and one is Ann? Oh.
Because the first time around we did her father and my father, we combined their first names. So his middle name is Rogerick, which people mess up because there's no D, because it's Roger and Rick. But we couldn't do that this time with Sharon and Liz, because Sharon Liz is stupid.
All right. Well,
as is Liz Sharon.
On that note,
Liz Frank would work.
On that note, we're going to say goodbye for today. We will be back on Thursday with more PFW in Progress. There's a bunch of stuff going on at Patriots.com. Obviously, tomorrow's Wednesday, so we'll have the draft prospect review
where we'll preview
the prospect
and look
report.
For the draft preview issue of PFW
on newsstands tomorrow.
Stop and Shop under four other papers.
So noon Thursday, Fred.
We will see you
noon Thursday.
Noon Thursday.